This is London Real. I am Brian Rose. My guest today is Dr. Rashid Buttar, the osteopathic physician and author best known for what you call the coronavirus agenda, the real story behind the origin of COVID-19, the intent to roll back our civil liberties, and the various forces responsible for it. You are trained in general surgery and emergency medicine and served as brigade surgeon while serving in the U.S. Army. Your first book, The 9 Steps to Keep the Doctor Away, became a Wall Street Journal international bestseller, and you are here today to raise awareness and share truth regarding the current global threat we are facing under the guise of COVID-19. A video of you with over 9 million views was recently banned on YouTube, so to avoid further censorship, we've decided that you will be streamed live through our new digital freedom platform located on our website at londonreal.tv. Dr. Buttar, welcome to London Real.
Thank you, Brian. I appreciate that, and I'm honored to be the first person on your live stream.
Great. I'm really looking forward about getting into it. You know, first of all, just welcome to the digital freedom platform. It's an independent technology solution that is of the people, by the people, for the people. It's available exclusively on our website. And just anybody watching this, if they could please share this out, because we don't have the benefits of these trillion-dollar technology companies and all of their algorithms. And I just want to say to you, Doctor, that I pledge to you that none of this will be edited and that anyone can watch the full version of this episode free without censorship or banning on londonreal.tv/Buttar. And thanks to the generous donations of tens of thousands of people around the world, also known as the London Real Army. And for anybody wanting to become a founding member of this digital freedom platform, they can go to londonreal.tv/freedom to donate. Here at London Real, we've been a platform for free speech since 2011. And Doctor, I'm excited to have you on today. So I don't know where to begin. I think maybe on this video of you with over 9 million views that was banned on YouTube last week. I mean, what is so controversial about what you're saying that is getting video after video of yours banned by these major technology platforms?
Well, I think when the videos that we had, the very first ones, the COVID-19, which the part 3, part 4, and part 5 got banned, they hit around a million within 2 days, and they got censored. And then this 9.1 million that you're talking about from Next News Network, that was, I think, in 6 days. And when you start looking at the numbers, you start realizing that people want the truth. And you and I both know that truth resonates. And when it resonates, and when another individual, another person picks up on that resonance, it's like a magnet. And some people may not know what I'm talking about. Other people may think I'm talking about foo-foo, you know, stuff. Bottom line is this: if you've ever approached a dog and it's a guard dog and the dog growls and snarls, and then you open up the, let the dog loose and the dog comes up and attacks a person versus the dog doesn't attack a person. What is that? What's the difference in that? It's a resonance that the dog feels, or people being afraid of an animal. If a person isn't afraid of a dog or a horse or something, the dog or the horse senses that, versus if you're not afraid, they can also sense the difference and the animal will react differently to you. And so I think this resonance, with truth resonates, fear resonates, you know, this every emotion resonates at a certain frequency. And I believe the reason that so many people watched and tuned in was because they were resonating at that frequency. They wanted the truth and it appealed to their intellect. I think the reason it's being censored is for the exact same reason. The powers that be don't want the information, the truth out there. And so anything that is getting traction and that they can see that people want, that they're hungry for, they're going to shut it down. Because our message of empowerment is all it was. It's letting people know the facts, letting them come to a conclusion themselves using their own minds. I'm not trying to put a thought in people's minds. I'm not trying to force them to see something or force them to hear something. I'm just presenting the information and saying, look, you decide, you be the final judge. And that they couldn't afford. And you and I both know historically, censorship is the first and second step of what an authoritarian type of government, a dictatorship, the things that myself and millions of other American soldiers, and not just American, by the way, I just want to make sure that this is not just for America, this is for the world. So every soldier that's ever served his nation, they've always done it for the same thing, for freedom. Whether it's an American soldier for the United States or an English soldier for the United Kingdom or Iranian soldier for Iran or a North Korean soldier for Korea. I mean, they've all served their countries and they've all done it for the same reason, whether it was true or not true, whatever the propaganda was of that nation, they stood up and potentially sacrificed their life for their country. And then when you start seeing that on a global agenda, there's something going on censoring everybody, there's a problem, and there's a big problem. And it's not the COVID-19. It's the pretense of the COVID-19 and what they're going to create that's coming down the pipeline. And it's already happening. Brian, you've already seen it. I've just yesterday's news, of what I heard and all the things that were happening. But, you know, there's this thing that my really good friend, Bruce Lipton, who you've had on the show here, Bruce and I put out a video last Friday. It was Bruce, myself, and Nia Peoples. And the video was based upon something that was supposed to happen on Sunday, last Sunday. And it was going to be a major event. I'm not going to bother talking about what it was, but it was going to, I was basically told, this is the reason I left the United States in 2016 and I moved to New Zealand. And I'm a resident of New Zealand. I'm in the United States right now. But the reason I did this was because I was told something was going to happen in 2019. It didn't happen. And I got a call a week before or 5 days before Sunday telling me this is the time, it's going to happen. You need to get the hell out of the country. It's going to be too late, blah, blah, blah. The person, my source of information doesn't believe in God, is an agnostic, has never prayed. And he told me the only thing that's left now is prayer. And he said, I've been praying. He felt like he was a coward because he'd left. And he said, I just want to get you out. And I realized within another 36 hours with my kids and everything, and it wasn't going to happen. So I contacted Bruce and we sent out a message. And the message was to hold love, gratitude, and compassion in our hearts and to ask the source energy, what I call the creator, to ask the creator to support us in this evolutionary time. That was all our message was. It was a message of hope and of love, intention. We even were joking in the beginning and joking at the end. And so we kept that in there so people would feel. I didn't want people to know what it was, and they don't know what it was. I wanted them to have the positive feeling. And because it resonates at a certain frequency. And do you know that that message got censored? YouTube didn't censor and Facebook didn't censor, to their credit. But emails that were being sent, 200, 300 emails between people being totally censored. Margaret, Bruce's wife, called me and said, what is this? Why are they censoring this? This is just a message of love. Because again, the most important thing that they are trying to hit us on now, they've hit us on, you probably haven't read my book, but there's my philosophy on seven toxicities. There's six toxicities that they've hit us on. The seventh toxicity is spiritual, and they're trying to hit us on that, and they're not going to succeed.
Wow, so you're being censored almost as a person in what you do. And we both have had some recent extreme experience with censorship. And until it happens to you, you know, it's always the other guy. It's always the crazy guy. It's always the conspiracy guy. And then when it happens right in front of your face, you're like, what's going on? And, you know, we both have had videos with millions and millions of views that have now been basically taken down. And we've also felt other censorship. So it's real. I guess that's a sign that we're talking about something that must be true.
That's right.
And yeah, I'd love to get into it and find out what it is from your perspective. Because, you know, when I listen to you and you start going down various threads, I mean, you know a lot about this. You know a lot about each individual thread and what's happening. Where do you start with this whole thing? Where do you start to talk to people about what's going on here and what you're seeing that other people aren't?
Well, I think that probably in this particular case, a lot of people see it and feel it. They say something's not right. It doesn't make any sense. You know, 6 feet apart and you have to maintain social distancing and you can't get together in groups of more than 50 and then they drop it down to 20. Yet when you're in a plane, planes are flying all over the world. That doesn't make any sense. What about when you go to the grocery food store? It's the most idiotic thought process that's been put forward if this was truly a pandemic. Because if it truly was a pandemic, people would have really died. But they wouldn't be altering death certificates. They wouldn't be furloughing nurses and telling doctors to go home. They wouldn't be taking footage from one hospital and trying to put it on multiple different hospitals. In fact, the Italian hospital that they had the footage on that they put on for New York, I've spent a lot of time in ICUs, and I can tell you, I've never seen an ICU like that, but I thought, okay, well, it's in Italy. Maybe that's how their ICUs look. And then when they showed it in New York, I said, wait a second, that's the same ICU. So if you saw part 5, we showed the two different videos side by side. And of course that went viral. There were many people that talked about, and in fact, there were 7 videos and or websites that had information that I included in part 5. And the day before, God works in mysterious ways. Really mysterious ways. He's got also incredible sense of humor. But the 2 hours before, the night before the first website went down, 2 hours before we were supposed to release part 5, 7 of the 9 websites or videos on YouTube disappeared. One of the gentlemen that put out the video that we were going to use, the one in the Bronx, and showing he was walking around hospitals in the Bronx trying to find somebody that had COVID-19, I had a conversation with him, and he said afterwards, after he got censored, after he got his YouTube video taken down, and he goes, Dr. Buttar, I'm telling you right now that if my life depended on me finding a COVID-19 patient in New York, I would be dead because I couldn't find anybody. And he was standing outside the hospital
So let me start, stop right there. So does the coronavirus exist? Is COVID-19 actually being tested for? Is anyone dying for it? Maybe back up a little bit and talk about the way you see this whole piece for anyone that's maybe not familiar with what we've been talking about.
Well, I appreciate that opportunity. And I think that that's a really good question, Brian, because there are people that have taken what I've said and misconstrued it and put it together into half-truths that are absolutely illogical and idiotic. Even my own... You know, it's amazing that in my own family, what a rift that this caused. And it's like this with a lot of people. So the first thing is, yes, there is a COVID-19. It is an SHC014 surface antigen for coronavirus, which, by the way, coronaviruses were first discovered or first written about or first publicized back in the 1960s. I think the first study came out either in 1963 or 1968. From that point onwards, there have been literally thousands upon thousands upon thousands of studies that have been done on the coronavirus. Now, it's relatively an inert type of virus. It's found everywhere. And, you know, before I go on with the coronavirus aspect, I just want to mention that I'm talking about the traditional virological model right now. I'm not talking about the more evolved thought process of what viruses really are. And regardless of whether you talk about the more evolved virological model, which is really based upon Steiner's work from the 1910, 1920 timeframe, which became prevalent. His work became more aware, people became aware of his work during the Spanish flu. So we're talking about 100 years ago. But even if whether you use his virological model or you use the current virological model, the one that's accepted, it doesn't matter. The conclusion comes to the same spot. Okay, it comes to the same place. So coming back to this COVID-19 and what really is, They took the normal coronavirus and they took the SHC014 wild type strain and what they would describe as a wild type strain. And that's the surface antigen that's on that particular type of coronavirus. They took the SARS coronavirus, which is a manipulated virus. And they took that and took the backbone of that, combined it. And then they took orthologs from MERS and took orthologs from HIV and put it into that virus to make this highly virulent, highly resistant form of coronavirus called COVID-19. And that was actually
saying they, was this created by some people?
Well, I will only tell you what I know. I can't talk about something that I don't know. And I think this is where we get into a problem because people start talking about what they think. And I'm just presenting facts here. So who they are, I can't tell you who they are, but I can tell you where the crumbs lie, and then people can then follow the crumbs and decide what they want to decide. But when I say they, it starts with, and let's go back to when this research was done. So the story is very, very simple. In 2014, the United States government made a decision based upon protests by many, many scientists, virologists, that some of the research that was being done, chimeric research or gain of function research, and I'll explain what that means in a second, is not something that should be done because of the potential for pandemic and the potential for mass loss of life. Now, chimeric research or gain of function research is to take something that's naturally occurring and then you change it, morphologically adjust it, chimerically manipulate it, which basically means taking components of the DNA and RNA and manipulating it, basically making a mutant form out of it, making a Frankenstein out of it, taking different parts and putting it together. And creating something with the intention to make it more functional. That's why they call it gain of function studies. Now, you and I and any logical person would say, why in the world would we take something that's naturally occurring and make it more damaging, more dangerous, more virulent, more resistant? Well, the excuse is because we need to study these gain of functions so that we can now assess, once we make them stronger, then we can assess which one is most detrimental so we can then prioritize which one we need to worry about, which is the most ludicrous component. It's like saying, well, I got a spark here, but what I want to do is cause a fire first, cause mass destruction so I can decide which type of spark that'll cause the fire will be the worst type of fire so we can prioritize against it. It is the most asinine, most ignorant, and here's the thing, highly, highly suspect. If I were to use my own free words, it's criminal, and it's with the potential of creating genocide. There's a much sinister agenda here. So let's come back to this chimeric research. In 2014, finally, the U.S. government agreed and said there is now a moratorium on any type of chimeric research. Well, in 2015, I'm not sure exactly how this happened, but Dr. Fauci in 2015, the following year, having a very high directorship at the National Institute of Health, funded a different country, China, to continue this chimeric research by basically taking $3.7 million of US taxpayer money and sending it to China. But the sad thing is that we actually started this chimeric process, and it was published in Nature magazine at the University of North Carolina at Chapel Hill. And the people that were involved with that predominantly were from North Carolina, University of North Carolina, Chapel Hill, but there were some doctors involved there from Harvard, from Sweden, and also from Wuhan. Well, Dr. Shi from Wuhan then left North Carolina and went to China. And when the first coronavirus case was reported in December of 2019, and she came out with a paper in 2020 and said, we believe that this has been something that was elucidated from bats. Well, she knows the truth. The original coronavirus that they were manipulating was so resistant to human culture. When they put it into human cell lines, it wouldn't culture. So they had to manipulate it to be able to survive or to be able to sustain itself. So the naturally occurring coronavirus from the bats that they took, human cell media culture, it just wasn't viable for it. And actually all these different components, they don't jump from a human to from an animal to a human naturally. That's not how the creator designed them. But we as humans go in and muck around everything that humans touch. We screw it up. We're the cause of all the climate change that is being blamed. I mean, we forget about climate change for a second. We are cause of extinction. We are cause of the loss of the lungs of the planet, the indiscriminate cutting down of trees all over the world. We basically screw everything up. Well, here is another example. We go in there, we start mucking around with things that we don't understand, and they're doing it for a certain reason. Why would you want to manipulate a virus that's naturally occurring to make it more virulent, make it more resistant, make it more damaging, and go against a government moratorium after virologists throughout the world had protested that this type of research should not be done? There's no function to it. It does not serve mankind. It only has the potential of hurting mankind.
Okay, and Fauci is the one that put that money. Why would you take something so dangerous and move it, you know, out of your own borders into a place like China, which we've always had some type of competition with? That seems so strange.
Well, it may seem strange to you and I, Brian, if we are innocent people, but now if we are inquisitive people, as opposed to being naive, we may want to ask that question, why? And I don't know the answer to that, but there are a number of different possibilities. But what I believe is happening right now, if I can just jump fast forward, if I can jump like they're saying this COVID-19 can, 13 feet, I'm just going to jump forward 13 feet. But by the way, the COVID-19 can jump like that. I mean, smallpox, tuberculosis, and Ebola are the only things that are air transmittable. Everything else, it's a lie, it's a lie, it's a lie. They don't transmit through the air. If you sneeze and you've got a common cold or you've got the coronavirus or something like that, you sneeze, it's not traveling through the air. It's a particulate matter of sputum or saliva that's then traveling and that's carrying the viral load. It then lands on a grocery shopping cart or on some item, and then you touch and then you pick up an apple or a banana or something and then you eat it. That's how it transmits. It doesn't just flow through the air. Only Ebola does that. Only tuberculosis does that. And I believe the third one is smallpox. The point being, misinformation upon misinformation. And my outrage in that video that got taken at the 9.1 million was against doctors, like in scientists, like, why aren't you speaking out? And I had a person who was one of the first people to have me on his social media platform a couple of weeks ago, Dominic Izzo, great guy, retired law enforcement officer. And he said, Doc, I just want to thank you from the bottom of my heart, because I think that you single-handedly compared to all the media, everybody on the planet that's talking about the single-handedly made more people aware of what's going on. And I appreciated that, but it's not a message about any one particular person. It's a message about truth. And the thing is that after that video, what I was so grateful for was so many other doctors not coming forward and talking, but they've been censored. We had the doctor from the ER in New York who clearly said the same thing that I had been hearing from friends of mine that are New York doctors, friends that are from training, but also friends, about 20 to 25% of our patients are doctors or their family members are doctors. So I've got doctors in New York that are very high up they have like many clinics underneath them, and they're giving me firsthand information. Yes, there is more respiratory issues going on. Yes, there is an influx in the hospital, But no, it's not a virus. We don't know what the hell it is. It looks like a hypoxic injury. It looks like altitude sickness. It's a strange phenomenon, and the way we're treating it right now is not effective. They're completely bypassing the normal aspects of when somebody needs respiratory assistance. CPAP, which is continuous positive airway pressure, BiPAP, bilateral, continuous positive airway pressure or positive airway pressure, it's being just negated. They're not even looking at it. And yesterday there was a nurse that came out and said that one of her friends that's in the units, in the hospitals, the ICU units in New York, she said they're murdering people. They're not doing anything. People have a code. Nobody's responding. They're not doing the things that we normally do. The people are being murdered. Now, why are they being murdered? I don't understand this. And that's the exact word that she used. There are many, many people that are complicit with this action. And Brian, you may have to rein me in, but one of the things that really aggravates me is this whole concept of not trying to blame it on China. I don't care whether China did it intentionally, whether China did it accidentally. That doesn't negate the fact that Dr. Fauci paid $3.7 million to a foreign government to start funding this.
And just to understand that, so in 2014, it was identified. 2015, it's in North Carolina. Oh, sorry, 2015, it was moved to China. And you're saying over those 4 years, they found a way for it to now be crossed over into humans. And then released in China.
It actually, in 2011, they had found ways of getting these coronaviruses from bats into humans. They've been working on this for some time. So that's, again, another piece of, you know, information that they throw out there to divert okay. attention. So but it's been going on.
And you're saying that then, that
by the
virus,
way, Brian, I don't mean to cut you off. It's actually published. This is not just me speaking. This is published information. In fact, the editors of the journal in part 3, Corrupted Science, if you saw that video, I show the study, and they're taking some of these studies offline. They're actually withdrawing them. So when I mentioned about the HIV orthologs being put on the COVID-19, people started hammering me like, oh, that's not factual. There's no study like that, blah, blah, blah. So I went back to find it. It was gone. I couldn't find it. And one of my patients, a very well-connected and very wealthy individual in Hong Kong, found out that I was looking for it. He sends it to me. And my question was like, where'd you get this from? How did you find it? He goes, don't ask questions. This is what you wanted. Here it is. So we have it on the video. And it was stamped right across it, withdrawn. They're manipulating history right now, trying to prevent people from finding out the truth. So
okay. And so what happened from 2015 to the 19 to where we are now? Like, what do you think happened? This virus was transferred to China, and then it was escaped either intentionally or unintentionally, and now we're in this situation. Is that what you think happened?
Well, all I can tell you is the facts. The facts are they were working on it in North Carolina. Whether they finalized it in North Carolina and then transferred it to China, or whether it was in the process of being transferred, or I can tell you that the original cell lines that they used in the research was from Fort Detrick. So that's another thing. And of course, Fort Detrick goes back historically to all sorts of things, including HIV back in the 1980s. You know, Fort Detrick, again, being in the military, the history of Fort Detrick is pretty interesting. There was a book written called Project Daylily by Garth Nicholson, who was the head of the laboratory division at MD Anderson. There were some things that happened at MD Anderson, for example, some of the human experimentations that were being done on vaccines. This particular doctor, not Garth Nicholson, but one of his colleagues at MD Anderson decided that he was going to expose the truth because they were taking Harris County. Houston is located in a county called Harris County. Harris County jail system, they were using these vaccine as experimentation, human experimentation, using it on the inmates in Harris County jail. And when this doctor said he was going to expose it, suddenly he was found dead in his office in the hospital, apparent suicide. There was only one problem with that apparent suicide. The exit wound was in the front of his head. The entry wound was in the back of his head. So when you start looking at things like this, and of course, nobody talks about it, the media doesn't talk about it. And there's been these histories of these reported suicides. Dr. Bradstreet, who was a friend of mine, who I was with, I was a keynote speaker on Friday of this conference that happened in May of 2015. He was a keynote speaker with two other doctors on that Saturday. I was talking to him. He had a new book coming out. He just got married. He was happy. 2 weeks later, he's found dead in North Carolina. He's from Florida. He's found in North Carolina with apparent reported suicide with a gunshot wound to his chest. Okay. Now, you people don't shoot themselves in the chest, but suicide. So, and they ruled that he was depressed. And again, I know this guy, I was with him. And I actually had a very strange event that happened. And I basically went to the police and I told him, look, I don't need anything. I'm just reporting to you. And I've told it out to my social media platform. Then hundreds of people knew about it back then that, look, if something happens to me, I'm not depressed. I'm not suicidal. I love life. And don't worry about me. I'm not worried about that part. I'm just wanting to make people make sure that if somebody rules it a suicide, it's not. Okay. Whatever it is, it's not suicide.
And so is there some grand global agenda to like control the population? And this has been being thought about for tens, decades and decades, and something is happening here. And these other people that you're talking about that have been taken out or maybe getting in the way of that. Is that what we're seeing now? And now are people complicit in this? Is that what you think is happening?
They're definitely complicit in it. So what happened with the virus when it got to China, whether it was a virus that got to China or whether the techniques to make this into the chimeric gain of function COVID-19 eventuality, whether that was done in China, the technology was developed and technology was taught in University of North Carolina, Chapel Hill. And so I don't know whether it was the end product that was transferred or it was just the technology that was transferred. But again, none of that is relevant. You know, it's kind of like, which route did you go between New York to California? Did you go stop over in Chicago or in Dallas or wherever? It doesn't make any difference. You're going to California. So the whole thing is it got to China. The fact that now you've got this COVID-19, whether it was an accidental release or it was an intentional release, I don't know. But I can tell you this. It doesn't explain the complicit nature of the United States and of many other countries. These are the leaders. And when I'm talking about leaders, I'm talking about sometimes the leaders are good guys. They're being misinformed by those that they rely upon to shut down the economies. So there's a complicitness throughout the globe, and that is very sinister. Now you start looking at where does all this go? So I'm just gonna draw the lines because I'm kind of speaking, some people may think I'm speaking somewhat cryptically, and I'm not trying to speak cryptically. I'm just trying to give the information that I know for sure, but these are the facts. Dr. Fauci has been involved with promotion of drugs that we know are not good. This started in 1981 when he talked about the gay disease, talking about HIV, and funded a drug and pushed for this drug for 3 years that caused a lot of problems, prophylactic prevention of HIV, supposedly. And now we know that's a lifestyle issue. There's many other things. Nutrition plays a part, et cetera, et cetera. But he pushed for this 3 years before a virus was ever identified in 1984. So Dr. Fauci has this history. He has been in the pockets of somebody interesting, Bill Gates. Now, Bill Gates couldn't keep viruses out of Windows, but he wants to keep viruses out of humans. So now let's see how he's trying to do that. Why does Bill Gates, who's not a virologist, he's not a researcher, he's not a scientist, he's not a doctor, for God's sake, I don't even think he has a college degree, but he's on mainstream media talking about the impact of this virus on humans and how we are going to have to go 6 months, a year before we can actually congregate again. He has also been documented year after year talking about vaccination, depopulation through vaccination. We look at his history and it goes back to this idea of eugenics historically. Now he's funded so many different agencies and he's got so many countries where he has multiple lawsuits again because of the damage that they've caused from viruses. I can read you some historical stuff that my friend Bobby Kennedy just recently put out, but it's incredible the history of it. And I can go through some of this information if you want. But the bottom line is he owns the patents on coronavirus, on COVID-19. One of those patents in Europe was granted and perfected in November of 2019. I'm not talking about a vaccine. I'm talking about the actual virus. Now I want you to think about this. H1N1 came out 10 years ago. President Obama said 60 million people were going to die in the United States, 20% of the population. They didn't. Do you know why they didn't? Because they refused en masse to take the H1N1 vaccine. I put out a couple of videos then, and it's, you know, some people said that it had a big impact, whether it did or not, I don't really care. I just wanted people to stop thinking that H1N1 was gonna save them. I remember traveling from a conference in the airport. Obama's talking about on the TV in these restaurants in the airport, talking about how we need to be very safe and it's gonna kill 60 million people. And people were laughing. Washington State, New York State, they had nursing associations that were ready to go all the way to the Supreme Court if necessary to protest the unconstitutionality of being mandated to take a vaccine that was not proven. H1N1, there were riots in Germany, in the UK. There was 98% of the population in Germany. Basically, the government said they were going to pay for 98% of the population to get the H1N1. They protested, and it was just ridiculous. People just said, no way. The reason we didn't have people that died from the H1N1 like Obama predicted was because people en masse refused the vaccine. Los Angeles.
So the vaccine would have killed them.
Let me give you this fact. Martin Luther King Hospital in Los Angeles reported 64 people that died of H1N1. This is 10 years ago now, okay? And nobody covered the story. In Los Angeles, Time got a hold of the story and started blowing it up. Like, why isn't the world talking about these 64 people that died of H1N1? It's going to be a pandemic. It's going to be this. It's going to be that. And then, boom, the story goes dead. You can't find it. Even in the archived websites, you could not find that story anywhere. I was amazed I couldn't find it. It just so happened that I had a friend of mine from general surgery that was working at Martin Luther King Hospital at the time. I had a conversation with him, and I asked him. I said, that was all BS, wasn't it? He says, no, all 64 did die from H1N1. And I said, like, documented? He said, yes, it was documented. It was an act. They were all documented. So I'm thinking, this is really big. Why didn't the world talk about it? And then he dropped the bombshell on me. He said, Rashid, all 64 had had the H1N1 vaccine. So all the people got the vaccine had died. Now, this is what's coming down the pipeline right now. I want you to understand that Baxter had the patent on H1N1 virus filed in Austria 9 months before the first H1N1 case was ever reported. Now, fast forward to now, to 2020, over 12, 13, 14, I don't know how many thousands of studies in coronavirus. You cannot patent something that's natural. However, there are multiple patents issued. There are videos online now. On our part three, I show those videos. On part five, I show the videos. I show who owns them. And those videos show the patents are owned by Bill Gates Foundation that through another company called Pinehurst or Pineburst or something like that. It starts with a P. I can't remember the name. I apologize. But it's in our videos. And that company is a European company that owns the European patents on coronavirus, on this particular form of coronavirus. Not one, not two. It's a whole class of patents. And they go all the way back to 2011. Now, why would Bill Gates, a foundation that he is running, why would that foundation have a patent on a chimeric man-manipulated version of a virus that is now the source of a pandemic with the person, Dr. Fauci, in his pocket who's funding the research from American taxpayer dollars to a foreign country? And when you start talking about blaming it on China or on any other country, you're forgetting what the problem is. It's not the China problem. It's not Chinese. Whatever you do, you're again creating diversion. Epoch Times is out there right now saying, we are going to expose the truth. And that it's another diversion. The issue is what's going on here. They're trying to take away our rights. It's under pretense of public safety that they're trying to take away our rights. Because here's what's coming down the pipeline. Bill Gates owns the rights to this coronavirus. He's forming the vaccine conveniently for the problem that he has created, that he has funded, that his minions have created. He is the biggest proponent and one of the founding owners of ID 2020 with the mandate of the tattooing. I mean, how is the tattooing different that they're talking about, the microchip or the tattooing that they're doing different from what they did with the Jews back in
World War II.
World War II, yeah.
And this is the tattooing, which means that if you don't have the vaccine, you're not allowed to, say, fly or go out or do all these things. But if you do have the vaccine and you get this ID or this tattoo, then you're allowed to have these citizen rights. That's what you're talking about.
That's exactly right. But it's much more sinister than that, Brian. Much more sinister. By the way, one of my staff just brought a piece of paper, and it's Pirbright, P-I-R-B-R-I-G-H-T Institute, that owns the patents. And that Pirbright is owned by Bill Gates Foundation.
So is that a money play then? If he owns the patents, does that mean he can make a lot of money from the virus? No. Or is this about power and control?
No. Okay. It's not about power because they have all the power. It's not about money because they have all the money. This is about a much more sinister agenda. And this is the agenda that I'm glad that you have this on a media platform that nobody can shut down. Because this is what my goal is, to make sure the people understand what the truth is, what's coming down. I've kept on talking about this. This is a topic that I know is near and dear to your heart because you've talked about it a lot. Fear is an illusion. It does not exist. There's no such thing as fear. Fear is something that we create in our mind about the potential of something occurring in the future. But danger, on the other hand, is very real. Will Smith is a great guy. I don't know him, good actor, but you know why I think he's such a great guy? Because he talked about this very message in one of his movies. Danger is real, and we must be aware of what the danger is so that we can prepare. So danger is real. Fear is an illusion. What they have done, when I say they, and we'll come to who they is in a second, you know, you and I'll get to that conclusion together. But what they've done is they have tried to make people fearful of COVID-19. And COVID-19 is not the thing to be feared. It is not the thing that is dangerous. What's dangerous is coming down the pipeline. And the whole gamut, the whole cascade of the... It's like, you know, Hitler was a bad guy, but he was a genius. The play that they've made is genius. It's evil, but it's genius. The way that they have orchestrated everything and put it together, and it is so unbelievable. I mean, there's been no movie or anything that's ever been put together that shows how intricate and yet simple, using human emotions of fear, that they have created this entire component.
Yeah, now, look at the world. Look at the world now. You got most of it locked down in total fear of even stepping outside the house, willing to do whatever it takes, people willing to rat out each other for going against the laws. I mean, it's the most valuable commodity in the world, fear, isn't it? More valuable than power, than money, than influence. If done right, you can get anything you want, right?
You're absolutely right. And the thing that people have to remember is that to be aware of danger is very critical, but don't allow what you're fearful for or what's been painted as the source of danger, because that's the diversion. Look for the real danger. They're basically telling you that, look, there's a ferocious dog. That's the danger. That's a COVID-19. It's barking outside your door, or it's a pack of dogs and it's barking outside your door, and don't open the door, stay inside. And I'm telling you that if you open that door, not only are you going to find that there's no dog, it's not even a poodle. It's a tape recording of a dog. It's a tape recording of a pack of dogs barking. But the real danger is the saber-toothed tiger coming behind you. That saber-toothed tiger is this mandated vaccine, because what's going to happen, they're going to give you vaccines that's going to make more people sick. While we're in the homes, while we're hidden, they don't want people to see what the truth is. The truth is that everything's fine. The truth is that people aren't dropping dead. The truth is that the hospitals are idle. Ambulances are sitting there. Paramedics are playing cards. They're bored. Doctors are being laid off. Nurses are being furloughed. That's the truth. More truth, what they don't want you to see. What they don't want you to see is the rollout of the 5G. They don't want to have people seeing these 5G towers going on. Now, I've had people say, Dr., how can you say COVID-19 is caused by 5G? I've never said that. So I want people to hear what the truth is. 5G does not cause COVID-19. 5G doesn't cause any infectious disease process, people. I'm trying to get that through their heads, that it's not 5G that's causing anything. But 5G causes massive, massive health problems. Over 2,000 studies have been done to show the effects of 5G on our systems. 5G, when they talk about the 5G, the fifth generation, when they actually roll it out, the final end product is 30 to 300 gigahertz. That's what they're going to be. That's going to be the power of this technology. Our phones are around 900 hertz. So Brian, so you can understand what the difference, somebody suggested, one of the subscribers suggested, maybe you want to spell this out. So I'm going to spell this out so that all your viewers can understand this. When you've got 900 hertz on your cell phone, and now you start talking about 5G and you start talking about 30 to 300 gigahertz, I want to just draw that extrapolation out. 1 gigahertz is 1 billion hertz with a B, not million, billion hertz. 1.8 billion hertz or 1.8 gigahertz is where the studies have showed an increase in proliferation of cancers, brain cancer, adrenal cancers, heart cancers, which are very rare, neurological implications, all sorts of other health problems. 5G causes a disruption of the cell membranes. There are things inside the cell membranes called voltage-gated calcium channels. This technology disrupts those channels and makes the cell membranes more permeable, so that there's an efflux of calcium into the cell, and efflux of calcium into the cell causes a suppression of apoptosis and uncontrolled cellular proliferation, which are both pathognomonic for the oncogenic process, cancer. All right, that's just one thing that 5G does. Another thing that 5G does, for whatever reason, and I don't know the physiology of it, because again, I'm not a researcher, I'm a clinician, I take care of patients, this observation where iron gets disassociated from hemoglobin, causing what appears to be a hypoxic type injury, which is exactly what the doctors in New York have been reporting. But to treat it the way they're doing with the virus is only going to kill people. Now, I want to just go back for a second and just appeal to some logic that people would have. Here's this very virulent and resistant virus. And, you know, sometimes, okay, I need to point this out, because this is something that even my son said, Dad, you said that this is very virulent. You say it's resistant. It's just really, really bad. And it's gain of function and it's man manipulated, but then you say it's nothing to worry about. How is that possible? If 0 to 60 was our goal and we're trying to break the 4 second 0 to 60 barrier, and then we go into 3 seconds or 2.5 seconds or 2 seconds, this virus is 0 to 60 in 0.1 seconds. Okay? It is fast, but it's like the worst case of premature ejaculation. It does its business and it's there. It's gone. I think the entire population of the whole planet has been exposed to it. That's one reason when they're testing, everybody's already had it. And I don't think that it came from Wuhan. I think it was everywhere. The Wuhan component And Brian, this is where it becomes really important. Wuhan, the people in Wuhan, from what I understand, had vaccination, a big vaccination schedule in the fall of 2019. I don't have verification of that, but that's what I have been told by multiple sources. But I do have verification that Wuhan was the place that 5G was going to be rolled out and announced by China, by the Chinese government, as early as 2018. And part four, 5G and immunity of the COVID-19 conspiracy videos, documents that and shows the websites where China announced that Wuhan would be the place that they would roll this out. Wuhan turned on their 5G towers, about 2,000 of those 12 or 13,000 towers. They turned 2,000 of them on in December of 2019 when the first case was reported. Not only that, in 2017 and 2016, BBC and CNN were covering the outrage, the global outrage about the level of pollution that was secondary to the incinerators burning in Wuhan. And what was incredible was, this is the third world, I mean, China, you know, they're an oppressive society, and yet the public was outraged. There were public demonstrations, and that's what garnered the world's attention, that here's China with people that are demonstrating because of the quality of the air. So these people were toxic already. They had the vaccine on board. You turn on the 5G and people start dropping. Now, this is the exact...
And so from what I understand, you're saying it's extremely contagious, but it's not dangerous.
That's
and
right.
And yet it seems that when you turn up the 5G, that's when we possibly start seeing symptoms. And that's why you're saying that it looks almost like this high altitude thing. And maybe that's why all the doctors you see are super confused, because they see these patients that are dropping in oxygen, and yet they're not acting like the normal ones they would potentially put on ventilators.
Exactly.
In all of those videos. Okay.
Exactly. And once you bypass the pre-endotracheal intubation components, such as intubation, once intubation is where you basically pass the endotracheal tube down into the airway, and now you are mechanical ventilation. Once you bypass the precursors like CPAP and BiPAP and some of these other non-invasive ways of stabilizing the airway, once you bypass that and you go straight to endotracheal intubation, now all sorts of crap can happen. You've got barotrauma from the ventilation settings. You've got aspiration issues. You've got all sorts of things that are going to end up hurting people. And because they're trying to elevate these numbers to justify this pandemic, you know, right now the joke is you fall out of a plane without a parachute, you died of COVID-19. Person gets shot in the head, they died of COVID-19. You have a heart attack, you get a car accident and die, COVID-19.
Right. Those are memes now, doctor. Is that because the public is getting wise to this?
I think it's exactly what it is. The public isn't stupid. Thanks to the advent of the internet, and for people like yourself and many other people that have sources of information and platforms that they can talk and educate people, because that's really what it comes down to. If you have knowledge, then you have power. And if you have power, then you can never be victimized. And that's what's happened historically. We have been victimized as a global society. We have been pitted against each other, Muslim against Jew, Jew against Christian, Black against white, Democrat against Republican. It's been an illusion to create more distraction. This is what they're doing now with China causes, and this causes that, it's COVID. It's distraction to keep the hidden agenda. The hidden agenda, this is what's coming down. So we've got the mandated vaccine that you talked about, the travel and such, but keep staying in your homes while we roll out the 5G. When people are then allowed to go back, they're going to get sick from the 5G, and they're going to blame it on the COVID-19. Oh my God, it's so virulent. We need to now go in and we need to give you more vaccines, and more people are going to get sick.
And you believe the 5G is a crucial component in this, that you believe that many of the population might have this COVID-19, but it's the 5G that exacerbates it. Is that right?
There's three things that exacerbate it. One, toxicity. That's been going on for years. Glyphosates, chemtrails, combustion of fossil fuels, et cetera. It's a heavy metal toxicities, persistent organic pollutants. Same thing that causes cancer. Same thing that causes almost all of our disease. So I'm going to step back and I'm just going to tell you how the CDC works. The CDC, when they go out to find the cause of death, they send out two teams. They have the infectious disease team that gets all the glory, you know, Contagion, Ebola, all the movies. That's what, you know, they're the heroes. And then they have the second team, which is the toxicological team that nobody, you know, it's like the stephead, it's like the Cinderella. They're the step children, you know, nobody wants to talk about the toxicological team. But the toxicological team is the team that was responsible for taking out lead out of gasoline, as an example. The toxicological team will rarely be able to do anything because of the politicization of the CDC. Because if the toxicological team finds something that caused the problem, you know, let's say it's a asbestos or a DDT or whatever the case is, then a company, corporation, an entity, an individual, somebody has to be held responsible. And now that's going to affect somebody with big bucks. Whereas if you blame it on an infectious process, on a pathogen, on a bacteria, on a virus, well, it's a natural causing disaster. So the CDC is, again, highly manipulated. We know the CDC can't be trusted. We know with the autism, all the stuff that's happened. Just recently, there was a lawsuit that concluded the CDC had to admit in court that they cannot say that autism does not cause, the vaccines don't cause autism. One of the little introduction videos that you put out about me, and I appreciate that, Brian, you said that I'm not anti-vaccine, but you didn't say what I do say. I say that I'm not anti-vaccine, I'm anti-stupidity. And the modern day vaccination schedule defies every aspect of human physiology, every aspect. Now, if you want to talk about vaccines, we can go there, but I just want to finish this thought process of what's happening with the COVID-19.
So you said, you said it was not just exacerbated by 5G, but also by toxicity.
So my second video that I put out was Toxicology Ignored. It's still on YouTube, it's still on Facebook, and it's been the least watched video. I think it's only like 200,000 people have seen it. So it's interesting that even, you know, I called it Toxicology Ignored and people forget about that, but that's the most important thing. The more toxic you are, the more your body is burdened, the more difficult it is for your organs of detoxification to work.
So does that include diabetes and sugar consumption and and smoking and those kinds of things?
It includes everything. It's not just the smoking, which is a very big part of it, Brian, but like when you look at cancer, you know, we've been, Dr. Mikowitz, who's it's become a very good friend. She was the one who did the gain of function studies on Ebola at the National Institute of Health for 22 years. And when she came out to expose the vaccines do cause autism, vaccines do cause cancer, she was threatened, her career was threatened by Dr. Fauci, in fact. Her life was threatened. To her credit, she went forward. They basically framed her. They put her in jail. I don't remember the exact amount of time she was in jail, but she had a gag order to prevent her from being able to speak about this for the next 5 years. And that recently lifted, and now she's come out and she's speaking the truth. Now, when you talk about what forms of toxicity, we've had mercury and nickel and aluminum and formaldehyde and all sorts of DNA adducts and other crap inside of children's vaccines and human vaccines for ages. I testified before the U.S. Congress in 2004. My son is still the youngest formal witness before the U.S. Congress, and I testified before the U.S. Congressional Subcommittee on Human Rights and Wellness. When I testified, Dan Burton, Congressman Dan Burton from the Republican from Indiana, we had a couple of conversations and before the hearing and then after the hearing. And Congressman Burton brought up this point about now there's no more mercury inside of vaccines. And I asked him, I said, how do you know that? And he said, well, that's because the CDC came out. They recommended that it be taken out. And I said, yeah, but that was a recommendation and we really don't know. Meanwhile, there were multiple different independent agencies that did some testing on these vaccines. Remember, this is like 2003, 2004, 2005 timeframe. They found that vials of vaccines labeled thimerosal free. First of all, most doctors don't even know what thimerosal is. They'll say, no, there's no mercury in there. And it said thimerosal. So they don't even understand that thimerosal is mercury, is ethyl mercury. Mercury, inorganic mercury, elemental mercury is considered the second most toxic substance known to man, according to the Environmental Protection Agency. But now you add an ethyl group to it or a methyl group to it or a phenyl group. If you have phenyl mercury, you'll be dead within 6 months of being exposed to it. But ethyl mercury, as soon as you add an organic compound to mercury and take it from the inorganic to the organic form, it becomes more assimilable in the body. It assimilates inside the human physiology or in any physiology, in any biological physiology, easier. So now when you take inorganic mercury, add ethyl group to it, making thimerosal, it's 1,000 times more destructive in the body. So now they've got these vials that said thimerosal free, meaning they have no thimerosal, no mercury in there. And yet they had thimerosal in there. Now I'm going to go back even a step further. In 1991, I can show you if you want a material safety data sheet from Eli Lilly talking about thimerosal because they manufactured thimerosal. And the material safety data sheet says, it cautions, known to cause severe neurological implications, including but not limited to mental retardation. And they're using this on all the different vaccines. So this never should have been used, but still being used, right? So now
they're making us toxic by putting these things in our vaccines
or
that our children are having and that we're having. So All right. So we've been built up this toxicity.
Right. And let me just give you one statistic before I go on. CDC's own data. I'm not making up this data. I'm not talking about somebody else's data. I'm not talking about some obscure agency. I'm talking about the Centers for Disease Control's own data. They estimate 1% of the world's population has autism. The world's population right now, Brian, is 7.7 billion people. 1% is 77 million. We have 77 million children and adults now in the United in the world that have autism. And in 1991, when they came up with the National Vaccine Initiative, the incidence of autism was 1 in 10,000. Now, 29 years later, it's 1 in 29. And then they say it's a genetic thing. There's no such thing as a genetic epidemic. That's ludicrous. Okay, now we come back to this step away from vaccines for a second, and let's come back to the issue at hand for the COVID-19 component, right? When you start looking at the toxicity in individuals, and this is, again, all these, I know I'm verbally vomiting on you right now, Brian, because there's so much information that I want the world to know, because if the world understands this, this is the last hope that we have. And I have a very 99% of my body is resonating that this is going to be an incredible world after all this crap finishes. But if we don't rise to this occasion, and I'm not talking about revolution and garbage like that, I'm talking about the masses, because remember, we are the masses, right? I'm not talking about anything except for people becoming aware and empowering themselves with knowledge, because once that's happened, you can't be victimized. So I'm just talking about making people aware. Once we understand this, and once we can rise to this occasion and change the outcome, the world is going to be a beautiful place. But if we don't do that, I'm not concerned about your safety, Brian. I don't know you that well. I've watched you for years. If you die, it's not going to make a difference to me. If I die, it's not a big difference. You know, it's not going to make a difference to you. It's not a big deal. Death is death. It's inevitable. We're all going to do it, right? I plan on being here for a long time, but if it happens, it happens. My concern is my children. My concern is their progeny. My concern is the future of the human race. And what we are talking about is, as my friend Bruce Lipton talks about, we are facing a mass extinction. He's not exaggerating. This situation right now, the sixth extinction from recorded history that we can go back and, you know, geologically and kind of see from dinosaurs, all these different things. Right now, what we're facing is the potential for that next mass extinction level, because the technology that's coming out, that's being rolled out, the 5G, remember I said at 1.8 gigahertz, at 1.8 billion hertz, it causes cancers that are just rampant. They're planning on rolling out 30 gigahertz to 300 gigahertz 5G, which is 30 billion to 300 billion hertz. And if they do that, it is going to cause mass catastrophe. H1N1, SARS, Zika, all these different things that they've used as false flags and inoculated us for, they're precursors, getting us set up for more and more toxicity. Already, as far back as 1984, they've got studies to show that in cat studies, in mice, in rats, even in humans, that people that got the flu shot, that tested covalent flu shot, trivalent flu shot, they are positive for COVID-19 despite no exposure. Now, why is that? Because I believe they've been introducing this into our systems. It's like putting A in, then B in, then C in, and then when you expose it to a trigger, it causes this problem, but nobody can be blamed on it because, hey, it had nothing to do with us, but it was put in A and B and C over the last 10 years. My question is, what I want to know is, these people that supposedly died of COVID-19, the real people that died of COVID-19, not the people falling out of a plane that got shot in the head, not those type of elevations numbers, not the ones that they manipulated the data, the death certificates, like the nurses and the doctors that have contacted me. I worked in the shift, 3 people died, I signed the death certificate, I went home, I came back on shift. The death certificates have been altered to show COVID-19 as a cause of death. I'm not talking about that data. I'm talking about the real data. Okay, the real data. I want to know how many of those people that died of COVID-19, if they died of COVID-19, how many of those people actually had the H1N1 shot? How many of them had the trivalent flu shot? How many of them had the covalent flu shot? That's what I want to know. And I would tell you that 99.9, I'm projecting because I don't know this, but I would bet, if I was a betting man, if I had $1 million, if I had $10 million, if I had your fortune, I would bet all of it, 100%. I would buy options on it that is the cause, 99.9% chance that is what caused this whole casket to go. There's a history on it. And the point one, the only reason for the point one that I wouldn't is because of maybe data error, because we didn't have enough data to go back and look at that. I have already said this publicly, and I'll say it on your show. I will go anywhere in the world where there's COVID-19. Anywhere, I will expose myself to it. I know that there's a potential I could get sick. I will just, I just want to be able to take my own little packet of things that I would not want to have with me. And I will expose myself without any hesitation, because that's how not dangerous this thing is. It is very dangerous if a person's immunocompromised, and it's very dangerous if you have all those triggers. But why is it, if this thing was really, 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 really that bad, then why is it that you can go on a plane and that's okay? You don't have to maintain your 6 foot distance, but you can't do it in social gatherings. Isn't that suspect? They don't want people to congregate and become political and have a voice, but on a plane, it's fine.
Are people flying on planes right now?
People are flying on planes, yeah.
People are flying on planes. And so it's interesting. So when you talk about how this coronavirus, you know, was introduced in the last, you know, 3 or 4 months, you know, via Wuhan or wherever, for you, you see a systematic introduction of all of these different viruses and all these toxicities and vaccines. So for you, this is something that's been going on for a long time.
How do you boil a frog? You boil a frog by putting it in the water and turning up the heat slowly, right? If you put the frog in a boiling water, it's going to jump right out. And they've been boiling us slowly. Whether now what happened with COVID-19 was they saw an opportunity and jumped on it. I mean, even Fauci in 2017 at Georgetown University said that this presidency will see a surprise epidemic, pandemic. How did he know that? How, I mean, you were in the markets. I want to know, you can't predict the market 3 days from now. How is he predicting 3 years that there's going to be a mass pandemic? And then the media is picking up on it and saying, you know, the president knew about this and didn't prepare for it. Wait a second. Why not find out how the hell this guy knew there's going to be a pandemic? How did Fauci know this? How did Dr. Fauci know it? Brian, I didn't mean to cut you off, but I just want to go back to one thing. If this thing was so damaging, and if you've seen part five, you've seen, I showed Iran. People say, yeah, well, Iran didn't have 5G. Yes, Iran was vying for 5G supremacy. Italy, same thing. They were, I mean, I showed websites, 3-4 websites for each country. They were vying for being the leaders, the global leaders in 5G. They rolled it out. Italy and Iran. And
so Iran had 5G.
Massive 5G. They were rolling it out. They were talking about it. I showed multiple websites about it. Now, here's the thing. Let's talk about the virus for a second. If the virus was so virulent, which it is, and so resistant, which it is, and so significant for causing death, which it is not, then explain this to me. New York is 15,000 kilometers from Beijing and from Shanghai and from Wuhan. So this virus leaped Beijing and Shanghai. There was no shutdown. Nobody got sick there. And just magically went to Iran, magically went to Italy, which, by the way, Italy already said that 99% of the people that died there from COVID-19 had comorbidities, significant other disease. And then jumps to the United States and sets up house in New York. New York, I believe there's a combination. First of all, World Trade Centers, when they went down, the level of pollution, New York is kind of known for the pollution, very industrialized. Their rollout of technology, you've got also, it's a population in New York that has had a lot of vaccines. I know for a fact that New York is a different state than compared to other states, because New York law prevents people. We have patients from all over the world, from 93 different countries. I've got patients from every state in the United States. In New York, my patients in New York cannot get certain tests done. It's the most ridiculous thing. They have to cross the border into New Jersey to be able to get certain tests done, because New York law prohibits certain tests, like certain heavy metal testing. They prevent it. They don't want it. So I never understood that. Now I can kind of understand it. When I start thinking about this, the first thing that comes to me, am I being conspiratorial? And then of course people think, well, it's conspiracy theory. But who came up with the word conspiracy theory? You know?
I saw the video.
CIA came up with it. So
it's CIA came up with it in order to make people. It was after JFK assassination, right? Right? They came up with that and they blanketed people with this moniker that made them sound crazy, right?
That's right.
So they wouldn't question what happened with JFK.
Exactly. It's social shaming. It's the same thing they're doing with the spacing people 6 feet apart, okay? Now, I'm going to just go into the spacing thing one more time. The biggest villain, the biggest criminal in this entire cascade is the mainstream media, because they have propagated lies upon lies upon lies. Stanford came up with a study a few days ago, and the study showed that the death rate from COVID-19 is no different than from the regular flu, using the artificial inflated numbers. If they looked at the real numbers, then it would be way less. As a doctor like Dr. Erickson, the ER doctor from California, reported, it actually comes down to 0.03, whereas a typical flu is 0.1%. They're finding that actually from COVID-19, 0.03. But let's just use the data that they're trying, including the gunshot wounds to the head and the car accidents of people jumping out of airplanes that died of COVID-19. Let's just use that. I actually have a friend of mine yesterday called me. His family, he was a 17-year-old kid, committed suicide. They blamed it on COVID-19. And the father was outraged until my friend said, look, if he's committed suicide, insurance isn't going to pay. But just don't say anything. COVID-19, they'll pay. So he said, okay, I'm not going to say anything
How
about it.
How can they classify that as COVID-19?
That's my point. That's okay. My hope.
Doctor, I'm getting emails here, and I'm not a medical doctor, of the same thing happened. Some guy took his dad, 80-something-year-old, having kidney failure. They made him sign the do not resuscitate. They said they tested him for COVID-19. He died later, and then they said they made it COVID-19. Then they said, no, we never tested him, but he showed the symptoms, and so that's why he died. And the whole family is outraged. And they're outraged for the do not resuscitate as well. I mean, we've heard story after story of this.
Yeah, it's unbelievable that the media took this data from Stanford University that came out, because I read the study, and it said clearly that this is not what everybody's saying it is. It actually is no different than the regular flu. And it was almost like, when you read it, it was almost like a question, like, what the hell's going on? And the media took that same study and reported, because what the one thing that they found in the study was that it was far more widespread than it was reported, because everybody's been exposed to it. To me, the whole world's got it. And to me, with the studies that showed, the cat studies, the trivalent, the covalent flu shots, my question, the H1N1 shot, the Zika, whatever other vaccines that we've had historically would have already exposed us to COVID-19. So these are published studies showing in cats that they're testing false positive, but there's not false positive. It's actually positive because they've already had the flu shot. So now you start looking at this and going, the whole world's already been exposed to it. They're just going around and saying, test, test, test. And you're testing for something's already there. So of course it's going to show, like it said there, and then you're going to use that to propagate more fear. Now, when you start looking at the Stanford study, they also reported that it's more prevalent than we thought, but not about death rate. What did the media do? Instead of saying that the death rate is the same as regular seasonal flu and this isn't warranted, they came out and said, Stanford study shows this is way worse than we thought. Way worse about that it's, you know, more people have it than we thought. But they're not dying from it. And that's the thing. It's a misinformation campaign, and they're doing it on purpose. Since this whole thing started, the articles have been written about me. It's just unbelievable. And the fact that they can get away with these lies, when President Trump talks about fake media, and people say that there's no such thing as fake media, or that's just President Trump. I'm not a political person, okay? I'm not a political person, but because I was in the military, my mind works a different way. And all soldiers, their minds work a different way. You may have a difference in opinion with your commander, but once the commander makes a decision, you execute. And if you don't execute, your best friend, your compadre is going to die because you didn't execute. So once a decision is made, you move forward. President Trump has had a lot of crap thrown at him, okay? I did not vote for President Trump. I actually had voted in the primaries for Rand Paul. But when it came down between him and Hillary, I left the country. I literally left the country, New Zealand, okay? Now, I can tell you, the first President Bush, I voted for him the first time. I was actually in the heavy metal task force that he assigned 12 doctors to the heavy metal task force. I met with President Bush, thought he was a good guy. I didn't vote for him the second time. When Obama came, I voted for him the first time. My parents were so happy. My whole family was happy because I voted for Bush, I'd lost my mind. I vote for Obama, everybody thinks I'm great. Second term, I didn't vote for him. Neither one I voted the second time. I didn't vote for Trump first time. I didn't vote for anybody, but I will be voting for him this time. And it's not because I like him, or I think the guy has done more for making people aware of what's really going on. I don't care about whether he slept with this porn star or what he said. You know, it would take somebody that has a thick skin to do what Trump has done, what President Trump has done. My point very simply is this, that President Trump has had a lot of crap thrown at him. He has been maligned from the get-go. So people, when they say that he is a racist, okay, he's against immigration. I'm a first-generation immigrant to this country. I can tell you that for somebody to say that about President Trump, it doesn't make any sense. First, he just is saying that people should come in legally. And everybody that says that he's anti-immigration, why even have a freaking law for immigration if you're not going to uphold it? What's the point? If you're going to reward the illegal people coming into the country the same way you're going to reward the people that are coming legal, then why? What's the incentive for the people coming in legally? Why even have the law? Why even play that charade? Then they say that he's anti-racist. Okay, does it sound like an anti-racist that he proposed a law to the Congress which was denied, or which was, you know, basically, I think it was a it wasn't an executive order, but it was a suggestion. He wanted to retain the intellectual pool of all the foreign students that come to the United States. They get their education and then they have to leave. And Trump had proposed having a instant green card so they could become residents of the US if they studied here, but it was denied. It was not approved, or it didn't pass the House or Senate, whatever it was. Does that sound like somebody that's a racist? Or when they said that he separated children from their parents at the border, all illusion again. There's massive, I had no idea the amount of child trafficking that was going on. Those people that they separated the kids from, they couldn't establish whether they were really parents of those children or not. Now, this type of misinformation, and you know, we only get part of it, so we only listen to what the media says. And what I've had happen to me over the years, you know, what happened when I fought the medical board, I've fought the government, the Institute of Medicine, I've been involved with the FDA, just in, you know, in combat, basically. To me, it doesn't make any sense that I have to, I potentially give my life for my country, I'll put it on the line for freedom, and then I come home and my fundamental freedoms and the fundamental freedoms of my patients are being refused. I'm here and home. At least when you're in Iran or Afghanistan or in some type of combat zone, at least you know where the enemy is. And here, you don't even know where the enemy is. And that's what's most appalling.
And the mainstream media has always been in bed with the pharmaceutical companies because they're constantly funding them with these ads. And even if they're not paying for their ads, they know there's potential ads. I mean, is that the direct connection with the mainstream media, or is it go deeper?
It goes deeper. It comes back to our friend Bill Gates, because his investments in pharmaceutical companies, his investments in the WHO, his investments in the CDC, his funding, it goes so deep. It goes so wide. And most of this is public information. And this information is coming out. I mean, I can read some of this stuff to you that Bobby has sent me, because I had no idea. But I mean, the point is that, look, I'm not going to sit here and list all these things out just because it's not information that I have handy. I can't speak it from it. I would just be reading it. But it's coming out. This information is coming out. And the most important thing, my message, and Brian, I can't tell you how much I appreciate you and your desire to get the truth out there, because I don't care what anybody's agenda is. I just want the truth out there so that I can go back to doing what I normally do, taking care of patients, so that we can keep on taking care of patients with cancer and autism, so we can have a fair world again. And I believe that what's coming down the pipeline is going to be an incredible world. It's going to be a world of abundance and fairness and truth, because if we can get rid of the media, if there was going to be an execution of an industry right now, if an execution of an individual, execution of somebody to make this world right, it would be mainstream media taking out those bastards that have lied and lied and lied and had a manipulation of the truth to basically satisfy their puppet masters. And YouTube and Facebook and all these other Google, they're doing that right now. There's a thing going on called The Truth About Vaccines. It's put on by my friends Ty and Charlene Bollinger. Do you know that if you go, Instagram just censored that term, that hashtag. Do you know that if you go into Google and type in truth about cancer, the truth about cancer, you can't find anything. They've got over 2 million followers and you can't find anything on Google about truth about cancer. This is how much sense, we are in the United States. We are living in the free world. And yet this is the type of censorship that's going on. Why? The question is not, don't forget about my conspiracy theories or whatever you want to call it. Forget about labeling me. What if you want to label me, fine. You want to label me as a kook, go ahead and label me. It doesn't matter. I just want people to ask one question. Why? Why are they censoring it? What is the purpose of censoring it? You don't censor pornography. You don't censor people with foul language. But now I'm sitting here talking. I think the only word that I've used that could be potentially considered loose would be crap. And if I didn't say it, I just said it. So that's the only word. But why would that message get censored? In fact, YouTube, when they took out those videos, it was funny because I could tell almost like I envisioned the guy sitting there thinking like, okay, how do I, you know, what do I put it under category? Because we didn't show anybody else's stuff. It was all my stuff. And so they put down for inappropriate violation of YouTube, inappropriate content is what they put down. They didn't say copyright laws. It is inappropriate content. So tell me, what is inappropriate about the truth? Now, if the truth is inappropriate, if that's how they've got it defined, I can understand that. And that's going to be a matter of a court of law settling it, hopefully a global court that can now start looking at these major corporations that have the ability to sway elections, to sway policy. And if they are going to have that much power, then they should be held accountable just like a government is.
Yeah, I think that's our next move, is to try to see what we can do in a court of law. I mean, the truth is, doctor, is that I stumbled into this fight. You know, I was putting out long form conversations, as you know, with your friend, Bruce Lipton, and all of these people over the last 9 years. And then I stumbled into having a conversation with a 67-year-old man, where we spoke for 2.5 hours. We did not incite violence. We did not call for revolution. We did not call for crimes to be committed. But we happened to talk about this thing called 5G and this thing coronavirus in the same sentences, you know. And on April 6th, that video was banned.
Yep.
Now, they didn't figure.
I was watching it.
Yeah, you were watching, right? It was the second largest Ustream in the world that day, second to President Trump. So obviously a lot of people are interested, just like they are with your videos. And yet now it's deemed dangerous. And they honestly just picked the fight with the wrong guy, because I don't care about the things that they think I might care about. I don't care about the revenue stream from you. I don't care about sponsors. I've never had any. I just now am angry because I was born in America. And I grew up where the First Amendment says I got a freedom of speech. It's in the DNA of Americans. And for me, it just made me angry that I can't say this. Like you said, it's just these two words. And there's a regulator here in Britain called Ofcom. And that's the only thing they were coming after. I could have said that choking down aluminum foil would cure coronavirus. That's okay. You can say anything else you want to say, but you can't say 5G and coronavirus at the same time. That's illegal, banned, censored. Government ministers calling it out. I mean, that in itself is a sign, right?
Exactly right. That's a flashing light. If anything, that actually, we should be grateful. Again, the creator has a mysterious way of showing his power. That is the beacon showing that that's a problem. And you know what the problem with David Icke is? He's a man ahead of his time. He was born 20, 30 years too early. Okay, I followed David Icke for many, many years. That's his fault. That's his only thing that I can say is wrong with that man. He was born too early. Somebody should have said, you need to just wait another 30 years before you're born, David. Now, one other thing I want to say about this 5G component.
Yeah.
You said that you stumbled upon it. You know, you stumbled into this fight. There's one person that stumbled into it even worse than you, and that's me. I had no intention. I figured other people are going to be talking about it. I put out in my minimal little social media thing, patients that asked me some questions. So I said, you know, I'm busy right now, but okay. If you guys want some information on this, you know, just let me know. And within 8 hours, 12 hours, I had like 700 people that had said, yes, I want a video. That's what started. So I totally stumbled on this as well. But I've been aware of freedom of speech issues when it comes to the health movement and the truth about that. Because when they talk about, you know, you can't use the word cancer and cure together, that's illegal, that you can't do that. And I'll tell you that right now, one of my staff members in December went back. We've been treating people with immune deficiency, i.e. cancer, HIV, all these things, because that's what it is. Cancer is not the problem. Cancer is a symptom of, you cannot have cancer if your immune system's intact. The only way you can get cancer is if your immune system's been damaged. And as of December, we had 14 patients with stage 4 cancer, terminal, 6 months left to live, you know, 3 months, whatever, is metastatic disease, 14 cancer patients that are now 15 years out since we treated them. One of them is over 20 years out. Now, when they say cancer, remember, once you stage 4, it's terminal and there's nothing left, and they refer to hospice. When you start looking at things like that, or autism is incurable. There's no such thing as autism. Autism is toxicity. Autism is simply stated, and again, I know we're not here to talk about cancer or autism, but I just want to give you the background of how this misinformation that's been going on for decades. Autism is nothing more than mercury toxicity on board a physiology with a genetic predisposition for the inability to excrete mercury. And people say, well, it's not just mercury. It's mercury. I have treated 3,800 kids, and our protocol has been used in some fashion or form or some level of it by over 1,800 doctors. Almost 40,000 kids worldwide have been treated with some partial form of our treatment. And I can tell you that it's only mercury. Mercury causes denudation of the neurofibrils. Nothing else causes that. Mercury is the second most toxic substance known to man. And tell me this, if it's the second most toxic substance known to man, why do we have it in our teeth and our amalgams, outgassing at 5 to 9 nanograms per deciliter per tooth per day? Why are we using it in our vaccines? Like Congressman Dan Burton, when he talked about that, he said, well, it's not in there, and then people were testing it. I didn't finish explaining that. Congressman Dan Burton asked for investigation into this, and there were three different lots of vaccines labeled I don't remember which vaccines they were, but they were labeled thimerosal-free. But when they tested them, they had thimerosal in there. So there was a congressional hearing where they had the head of the FDA and the head of the FTC. And Congressman Dan Burton asked the head of the FTC, what is, and I'll explain this. This is thimerosal-free, yet we've tested it, has thimerosal on it. Explain yourself. And the head of the FTC said, I have to defer to the FDA. So that's a truth in marketing, truth in advertising issue. He defers to the FDA. The head of the FDA at that time, and this is the most appalling thing to me, the head of the FDA says, well, we are telling the truth. There is no thimerosal in there that was added in there. And Congressman Dan Burton's like, here's the report. So explain to me, if you're saying that there's nothing added in there, get this explanation. The FDA said, when we have a vial, and we put thimerosal in that vial, and we put the vaccine in the vial, we do all this other stuff, then we have to label it as thimerosal. But now, we don't do that anymore. We don't add thimerosal to that vial. We now use it during the manufacturing process, so when we add it to the bottle, it's just the end product. We haven't added any thimerosal to it, so therefore we don't have to disclose that it has thimerosal in it. It's used in the manufacturing process, not added as another ingredient. And Congressman Dan Burton asked for criminal sanctions to be brought against the head of the FDA and the head of the FTC. This is a matter of congressional record. And do you know how much the media covered it? Zero. Nobody talked about it. They totally whitewashed it and blanketed it. Nothing ever happened. And then you've got the people, the corrupt people like Anderson Cooper that bring Congressman Dan Burton on and then try to, like this a couple of years ago, and try to attack him this way. And you could tell Congressman Dan Burton held his own, but he's not a scientist and it was hard for him. So I've put the challenge out. Why don't you have a real doctor or scientist come up there and talk? I was supposed to be on NBC Good Morning America, myself and Boyd Haley on NBC's, I think it was NBC's show, Good Morning America, about the vaccine aspect. And after a whole bunch of stuff, within 2 days of being broadcast, a five-part series, it went dead. They didn't want myself or Boyd coming. And I talked to one of the producers afterwards, and he said, I can't explain to you, Dr. Pattar, what happened, but we're not going to have you on the show. And I was like, that's fine if that's what you guys decided. I happened to talk to Boyd Haley, who used to be the head of the Department of Chemistry at the University of Kentucky. And Boyd said, well, of course they're not going to have you on there. The reason they don't have you and me is because of their advertising dollars. And I didn't understand what he meant. Apparently, six different pharmaceutical companies that had over a $500,000 daily budget, this is what I was told, not whether that number's accurate or not, but $500,000 daily budget on advertising throughout the Good Morning show. They were basically told that if I was on the show and if Boyd Haley was on the show, they were going to pull their advertising budget for the next 6 months. So why would they do that? They're censoring. That's another form of censorship.
Yeah.
Open debate is not something that they can handle. Well, and they don't want to handle it.
When you see these Trump conferences at night and you see him on stage with Dr. Fauci and Dr. Birx, and you know, Trump is trying to get his head around this and he's making gut decisions like, you know, we got to get this economy back. People are, you know, they're losing their generational wealth, and yet I'm being told this one thing and told this other thing. Like, what do you see of the dynamic up there? And if you were Trump, what would you do?
Well, if I was Trump, if I was President Trump, the thing is that I have a knowledge base that President Trump doesn't. And the problem with most people in high power is that they're surrounded by idiots, by criminals, by people that have an agenda that is not going to serve the people. That's the reason that people have been threatened, or the hierarchy has been threatened by President Trump, because he wasn't controllable. Okay, he wasn't installed in as a puppet master like Hillary would have been. And this is his biggest issue, is that he hasn't had anybody. He's been sabotaged from the get-go. So President Trump needs to surround himself with people that truly know what the truth is and to support him. President Trump, when people say, Dr. Pattar, please get your message to President Trump. I don't have any direct connection to President Trump, but I will tell you this. I believe that President Trump already knows. I believe that President Trump knows this because from his platform before he got elected, he talked about the relationship between vaccines and autism. I believe that President Trump knows what's going on because he was very cavalier about COVID-19 and he pushed for the public to go back to work by Easter. You remember that? Right? He's talked about it. So he knows the truth. I think his problem is he's got all these people talking in his ears and he's been controlled by the media. It's pressure. It's political parties. He's having to deal with a lot of other crap. But if I was President Trump with my knowledge base, or if I had President Trump ear for 5 minutes, I would tell President Trump, do what your instinct has been telling you all along and open up the economy and investigate Bill Gates and investigate him and all his tentacles. You know, they just got hacked. and they found Bill Gates Foundation got hacked, and the CDC and the WHO and all this stuff. And of course, now they're going to probably try to go after the hackers and try to make them criminals. Why not go after the criminals, the hackers, like going after Snowden? I never understood that. Snowden exposed the truth, okay? And instead of going after Snowden, instead of going after the real culprits that he divulged, they're going after Snowden. Or Hillary Clinton's emails. They divert. Again, this whole diversion. Somebody broke the law to get into Hillary Clinton's emails. Why not look at the stuff that she's been breaking the law about? That's what the whole reason was. To go after the whistleblowers is ridiculous. It doesn't make any sense. You know, it's, again, the diversion. And it's the media that propagates that. Because they could truly say, they could give an unbiased thing and say, okay, the hacker broke the law, but the hacker broke the law because he wanted to make sure that people didn't die unnecessarily. And here's what he exposed. But no, they just want to talk about the hacker, the hacker, the hacker. Media has to be revamped. They have to be held accountable, not just the companies, but the heads of those organizations and the stock owners, the stockholders, so that then the stockholders are going to make sure that truth is being reported. That's where this whole thing stops. That's where this misinformation campaign stops, and the world can then truly get back on the fair, even playing field, so that people like you with a message about self-improvement and empowerment and giving people knowledge, and people like me that are trying to just let people know, empowering them with knowledge so that they can live a healthier life, so that they can understand that the more important thing that you need to be aware of if you don't want cancer is how you eat and how you drink and what you breathe and how you live your life your thought process, not your freaking genetic code that has nothing to do with it, but that the mainstream media has pushed the agenda and created the genome. The whole freaking genome thing has been another misinformation campaign. And if you'll allow me, I just want to, because, you know, they're going to take this out of context and say that Buttar has lost his mind. He's talking about the genome means nothing. If you'll indulge me.
Please, please.
Earthworm has 20,000 genes. The human system has 20,000 genes, but we have over 100,000 known proteins. We have more that we haven't elucidated, we haven't discovered yet, but there's 100,000 proteins. And the genomic model is that a gene defines a protein. Yet if we have 100,000 proteins, then how can 20,000 genes define 100,000 proteins? And the answer is they don't. One gene, depending on how it expresses itself, can define many, many proteins. And that's why the term epigenetics is so important. That's basically the philosophy that my friend Bruce Lipton, who impacted my career in a massive way 17 years ago, because I was getting all these results. I didn't understand how I was getting these results. And then I listened to a bootleg copy of Bruce's work and realized, oh my God, that's what I'm doing. I'm just changing the signal. I'm changing the environment. I'm changing the external environment to a certain level, but I'm changing the body's internal environment, causing the gene to express differently because the signal that I'm giving the gene is different. That's why the proteins that are being expressed now are different proteins and the people get healthy. Not having your breast amputated because of the BRCA gene, that's the most idiotic thing. Again, misinformation. The campaign of misinformation to the public, to the world's global economy, has been over and over the same thing, Brian. They are messing with people's lives. When you make a mistake, it may be one thing. When doctors make a mistake, people die. And they have created and perpetrated mistake after mistake. And they should be held criminally responsible. Not legally, not financially, all that too, but criminally. They need to be sent to jail for misinforming the public on important things that have cost lives.
Yeah, and we've been, you know, having conversations with people like Bruce Lipton and a lot of other people when it comes to, you know, talking about the epigenetics, talking about how your own mindset and your own lack of fear can manifest yourself physically. And again, I agree with you. It's getting control over our fear now that is the one thing we can all do now. It just takes getting the information out. It's just that simple. Until a week ago, I wouldn't know how to broadcast this conversation to millions of people until we figured it out. And now we've got a way. And I don't think it's going to take, you know, revolution and war and all that. It doesn't. It just needs people saying, no, that's wrong. I'm going to go outside now. I'm going to go to work and I'm going to continue doing this. And then realize that it's a facade. And like you said, there's nothing to fear but fear itself. And that's what's going on now. And if you take a look at it from a bird's eye perspective, and if you were aliens outside looking down on this planet, they'd be like, what has happened in the last 3 weeks? Because
they would be laughing. They would be laughing and saying that this species is highly, highly unevolved. They still are so manipulatable. And that's really what this whole thing comes down. They're manipulating us. And this is such an exciting time to be alive because it gives us a potential for an evolutionary leap that hasn't occurred in recorded history right now. Because In fact, I think David Icke even said that this is a very critical time, but it's also a huge opportunity, I think is the word he used on your video, I believe. But he's absolutely right, because right now we have the ability to turn the tables for the benefit of mankind. Brian, I have been a student of self-improvement for decades. My father started me on this quest, and both my brothers and my sister, years and years ago. We grew up reading Napoleon Hill and Andrew Carnegie and, you know, listening to the tapes. And one of the things that was instilled in us is inquisitiveness. And when you talked about that fear aspect, and when I've talked about fear, it took a while for me. I was trained in general surgery, right? So we're a little bit slow. When in doubt, cut it out, heal with steel. Those are our mottos in general surgery, right? So it takes us, you know, I say that facetiously, but surgeons are very, very, they're probably the most aggressive type of doctors, but they're also, they're not going to sit there and calm. They would be analogous to the special teams in the military, right? The elite teams. That's kind of like how I envision it. And I'm only saying that because surgeons have to work sometimes on their legs for 36 hours. And, you know, it's a tough life, but they also have to, sometimes they're very simple minded, and they're simple minded because they don't have time for anything else. Now, in my world, as I grew up and as I went through general surgery, and you know, I could see the cancer, you can see it, you can cut it out, you can throw it in the ground, you can spit it on, you can stomp on, it's done. And then 6 months later, it comes back again. And it's like, why is it coming back? Because we never dealt with the issue. And cancer is just a symptom. That's just a symptom. It's not the problem. Cancer tells us that there's something underlying that's wrong, and that's the cancer is a symptomology. So why is it cancer day? And that's what we have to do. That's how we've gotten the results that we've gotten, and people from all over the world without any advertising, is because we were able to come to the causation aspect, the etiological component, and fix that. Now, what is the cause of this cancer of COVID-19 and this pandemic? We need to look at the cause of it. We need to look at the etiological component, and that is misinformation. Now, in the self-improvement aspect, I was talking about when my father had taught us, you know, guided us on this path of self-improvement. There was a book that he shared with me by W. Clement Stone. And in that book was a little poem. And the poem was, "I argued with life for a penny, only to be dismayed that anything I would have asked of life, life would have paid." So I'm going to ask your viewers, and I'm going to ask you, when we think of our planet, we think of our planet as the whole purpose of the eugenics movement and Gates's thought process of depopulation. The world can't sustain itself. It needs, you know, 7.7 billion people. There was a white paper that came out saying that the world should only have about 500 million people, sterilizing and all this other stuff. And again, this is a matter of record. And, you know, it isn't conspiracy theory. You want, whatever you want to call it that. You know, you can label it whatever. Truth remains the truth. You can't change facts and truth by just labeling it something else. So do your own homework and find those things that we're talking about, because they're out there, unless they've pulled it all off Google, which I don't think they have yet. But if you start looking at the way the Creator designed the planet, we are on a planet of abundance. When you look at a field, can you count the number of blades of grass in a field? And then look at the number of fields on the planet, or grains of sand on a beach, and then the number of beaches on the planet, or the number of leaves on a tree, and then how many trees are there on the planet? We are living on the most abundant, rich, resource-rich planet in our solar system. And so why should we be fearful of resources? Look, there's already technology that allows cars to run on water, on electricity. We've got free energy, all these people that have these technologies, and they're suppressed. By what? By industry, by people. I'm a capitalist, but I believe that capitalism should be allowed to compete on an even playing field, not by those that have a vested interest in oil or vested interest in one computer system, whatever. It should be an even playing field. If I was on an even playing field with the rest of the medical community, guess what? Nobody would be going through chemo and radiation, because it would be even. The truth would be seen, and people would be seeing, let me start with these other things. Sabiston, the father of surgery, Sabiston, in his textbook of surgery, says that surgery is the ultimate admission of defeat. What makes a surgeon truly superior is the preoperative and the postoperative care. But we in medicine, we start looking at the data. Do you know that the number of people that die from conditions that can be surgically corrected is the same in the United States as in Canada and in the UK? But yet in Canada, they do twice as many surgeries as in the UK. In the United States, we do four times as many surgeries as the UK. We do twice as many as Canada. So why are we doing all these unnecessary surgeries? Because the death rate is exactly the same from the number of surgeries. It's again what Sabiston, from the textbook of surgery, the father of surgery, said. It's the preoperative and postoperative care. So then why are we doing all these extra surgeries? Well, because the surgeons need to drive their Mercedes too, right? So I'm not speaking out against doctors, but I have a very, very intolerant attitude towards my profession, because my profession, when we make mistakes, people die. And if doctors had spoken up in time, then maybe some of this could have been prevented. But there are more doctors speaking up.
Why aren't they speaking up? Because they're scared about just being taken out.
Well, I mean, I just got a letter from the medical board about a complaint that was written clearly from a doctor, and I think I know who it was, but you know, to their credit, the medical board just said, we're just notifying you of this complaint. But yeah, they are afraid. And I've had a long history. I've been battling the medical board pretty much every year since 1999. So they, at this point, I think just want me to go away. They don't want to, you know, they just, you know, take this course, take that, whatever. They just don't want things to go forward anymore, because at a certain point you have to understand that, that the truth is always going to come out, right? It may take, my dad always used to say this, no matter what anybody says, it may take a week, it may take a month, it may take a year, it may take thousands of years, but the truth will always sustain itself. And we are at that point in history right now that we must, as a global population, as a citizens of this planet, not a citizens of the United States or the UK or this country, that country, as a planetary population, recognize that one, we are all connected. Literally, we're all connected. If you study quantum physics, you already understand that. But we are all connected, and our differences have been accentuated over the decades and over hundreds of years. Our religion, our creed, our ethnicity, our color of our skin, to create diversion. It's the same thing as saying China created a bioweapon, whereas taking the responsibility away from the United States for shutting down the economy. It's that type of division, division, division. It's always division, right? If you think about it, divide and conquer. That's an old saying. So you first divide the populace and then you conquer them. So I'm asking for people to unite. And my message, Dr. Lipton's message and Nia's message that we put out that was censored by certain media, it got out there. It was surreal to get videos sent to me from Russia showing your message is getting out, and people are congregating, people are coming together, and the police trying to break it up. I have asked for every law enforcement officer, every military individual, anybody who's served in the military, active duty or retired, I have asked them to remember the oath that they took to protect and defend the US Constitution against all enemies, foreign and domestic. And I'm not asking for people to riot like some people are saying. That's ridiculous. We are a nation, a free nation, and we are the United States. And the world is a free nation. It's up to us to now define what that freedom means. Instead of wars being pitted against each other, we need to start looking at the similarities and see the similarities between ourselves. And then we can understand how this agenda began, how this agenda has gotten perpetrated, how COVID-19, all the governments became complicit. Not all the leaders are bad leaders. Some of these people are good people and they're trying to do the best they can, but some of them are complicit. And it may not be the leaders, it may be the people who are surrounding the leaders. It needs to be flushed out, Brian. It needs to be flushed out, discovered. And those people, as far as I'm concerned, should be hung for treason, for against all their respective countries that they've committed treason against. Because if you shut down the economy, people are dying right now. Suicide. Dr. Erickson, I believe, in his report was talking about the side effects of this epidemic, right? Of this pandemic, or what they say, now they call it the plandemic. The side effects of this, the side numbers that nobody's talking about, the number of child abuse cases that have gone up, the number of domestic violence cases that have gone up, the number of suicides that have gone up, the number of people that are so distressed and distraught and that are depressed and that are taking out their frustrations on their children or on their spouses and then killing themselves. What about all those numbers? Nobody's
mentioned the people that are too scared to go to hospitals that are empty.
Exactly.
You know, there's people in Britain that are dying at home because they're too scared to go in, or they don't want to inconvenience the overworked medical staff.
Which isn't being overworked. And then when that person dies, they get attributed, their death gets attributed to COVID-19, which indirectly is true, but not from COVID-19, the virus, because of the misinformation and the intentional criminal act against the people of the planet. That's what this is.
And so slowing down the economy is part of the plan to get people vaccinated, because that's the only way to restart the economy and get everyone's job and income streams.
Right.
So this pain right now, and everyone's feeling that pain, is going to make it to where everyone's either forced to get the vaccine or has to do it anyways just to survive economically.
That's exactly right. And now look at the social distancing aspect. Just that,
yeah,
as an
tell
example.
Me about the social distancing. What do you see there?
Okay, there it's again, it's how do you boil a frog, right? Slow desensitization. So they're trying to make this into, and I've seen this in the media, they're talking about this is here to stay. This is a new way of life, social distancing. They're trying to slowly program us. Why?
I see people doing it in London, and I'm still looking at them like, this is insane. I mean, I see people waiting outside the thing. They're like 9 feet apart now, not even like 6 feet. And for me, I don't know, Doc, I have not bought into this fear. And it just looks ridiculous and seems ridiculous.
Okay, from a factual standpoint, from a science standpoint, it is ridiculous. From a scientific basis, there's no grounds for that at all. Because if it can travel 6 feet or 9 feet or 13 feet, it can travel 50 feet, 100 feet, and 1,000 feet. Ebola, tuberculosis, and smallpox, and that's it. Nothing else travels through the air. It's a total lie. And any person who comes out and says that, anybody, they are a liar. They have no scientific background. And if a scientist is saying it, they've already sold to the devil and tracked their pockets back to see where the money's coming from. It is an absolute categorical lie. Second, and I mean, like I said, I've said I will go forward. And there are other doctors. I've got over 3,800 doctors that have joined our list just in the last 2 weeks saying that, you know, thank you. I mean, I've got I can't even tell you how many doctors, literally hundreds of doctors, friends of mine that have sent me messages telling me that, thank you. I owe you my life. I owe you my profession. I owe you, you know, I'm praying for you. I'm keeping you in my thoughts. You know, I don't know where you get your courage from, blah, blah, blah. This has nothing to do with courage. It's simply because I want my kids to have a future, and they're not going to get a chip. And I will be the first person dead if those chips become mandated, because nobody's going to chip me, and they're certainly not going to chip my kids. So when I'm gone from this planet, and again, I think I'm going to be here for a long time, and my hope is I'm going to be here for a long time, but that chip becomes mandatory, I will be dead, Brian. And I'm guaranteeing you right now, because nobody's going to put that chip in. That chip has, some people talk about, I'm of the Muslim faith. In fact, I wish I could drink some water right now, but it's Ramadan, so I'm fasting. So it's hard for me, so my mouth is a little bit dry. But I'm telling you right now, in the Christian faith, they talk about the mark of the beast. I believe that might be the mark of the beast. Now, in fact, I know that's what it is. Now, my point, very simple, is a cycle. Now, let's look at the cycle, what's going to happen. You said they're going to prevent people from going to work unless they get the chip. And we're talking about the social distancing. They're imprinting the small amount of, in a small way, and it's going to get bigger and bigger about social distancing. There's technology that has been out for 15 years, military has been using this technology. You can track a soldier. You've seen it in the movies, for God's sake. You can look at a soldier's movements 5 feet circumference around their moving. And if you look at when there's an operation that's taking place, a covert operation, the satellites can track soldiers, and they're always maintaining a certain amount of distance. Two reasons. One, which we know about, is because you step on a landmine or around, you know, that somebody identifies and they start shooting, it doesn't take out the whole unit. It doesn't take out the whole group of soldiers. It only takes out that one. So that's one reason they maintain distance. But the other reason is so that the satellites can pick up and see their movement, see what's going on. Now, is that possible? Absolutely it's possible, but it's even more sinister than that. How do we know that that chip that they're going to put in, under the pretense of being able to recognize who's had the vaccine or not, which in itself is detrimental, but that chip is now allowing the satellites to pick up where we are, who we're congregating with, where we're moving to, how much money we have, what we're saying, what we're doing. Already, I mean, my son was saying, Dad, we're in New Zealand, and he says something about Dunkin' Donuts. There's no Dunkin' Donuts where we are, we're very remote. I pick up my phone, and my phone was there, his phone was there. I pick up my phone, and I said, where's that link at that I sent you? It was a link on something funny. He picks up his phone, and there's an ad for Dunkin' Donuts. How can that Dunkin' Donut ad be there when there's no Dunkin' Donuts in that? There's only one in Auckland, and there's weird things like that happen all the time. Now, you're telling me that the satellite can't pick us up? Okay, what about the RF chip putting out a signal to transmit? Or it's a receiving signal. So we already know the 5G has a detrimental effect on the system, but that RF chip that they insert in us is now, it could be a transmitting signal, but it could also be a receiving signal picking up signals that are now coming in and digitizing our bodies. How do we know that? I mean, I don't have any information on that, but these are all the questions. Why would anyone want that in? And they've had the technology 2-3 years now. They've been talking about it. And this guy in England, actually, I was watching a video, Microsoft, was on a Microsoft site, and they're talking about the chips that are inserted in the hand. And it's on the dorsal surface of the hand, opposite from the hypothenar eminence. And what's interesting is you walk up to the door and you just, the hand chip scans the door and opens the door. And they're talking about how life is easier and you can, you know, then have the way to pay your bill or whatever. And this guy who owns the company says, well, I've been equated to Hitler, but of course, you know, that's a little extreme because if, you know, we're not talking about mandating this, we're making this for convenience. But now, of course, if it becomes mandated, then it's a different thing. And that's exactly what they're doing under pretense of public safety again. They've been doing this, orchestrating this all along. It's always under pretense of public safety, and they're going to make more people sick. And then when the kids get sick from the 5G, we need more vaccines. More people get sick from the vaccines, from the 5G. Oh, we need more vaccines. And dissidents like me will either get a bullet in our head or we'll be put into a quarantine camp for protecting the public from the, because I haven't been vaccinated. For God's sake, people, for you that are out there that are already pro-vaccine, that think that we, the people that refuse to get vaccination, are making you susceptible. If you've had the vaccine, what the hell are you worried about? You've already had the vaccine. Why are you worried about children that aren't vaccinated? Okay, this is all, logic has escaped the population of when they say that pro-vax, pro-vax, pro-vax. It's not about pro-vaccine. It's not about anti-vaccine. It's about common sense. It's about understanding physiology. And it's about understanding what the agenda is. We have to wake up, Brian, and that's what's happening, and that's what's threatening them. We are waking up. There are more and more people going, it doesn't make any sense. And if you're saying it doesn't make any sense, then tell another person what Brian, you're doing, what everybody else is doing. All we've had, like, I don't know, 55, 60 inquiries from media. We can't even do it all, so we're just turning them away now so that the platforms that are able to get the message out, it's not that their platforms aren't important. They are important, and we'll do everything we can to support it. But anybody who has this message, it is your obligation. It is your, if you love your children, if you love your future progeny, then get this information out. It's not about Brian. It's not about me. It's about none of us. It's about our future. It's our future of the human race. And when people like David Icke that come ahead of their time, instead of ridiculing them and minimizing them, we should be looking at, if we don't agree with everything and we don't believe everything, fine. That's the beautiful part about living in a free planet. Don't agree with them, become inquisitive, but don't throw the baby out with the bathwater. David Icke is ahead of his time. And there's so many other people like that that are ahead of their time. Listen and decipher. When God gave us all brains, some people, I'm convinced, said, you know, train. What do I need a train for? I don't need a train. It's a brain. We each have one. We were given a brain. So let's start using that brain. Let's use our own eyes, our own ears, and let's become inquisitive and ask the questions why.
Yeah, and as David said towards the end of the episode we had that was banned on YouTube, he said, you know, what are you going to tell your grandchildren that you did, you know, in the great contraction of our civil rights in the pandemic or plandemic of 2020? Are you going to tell them that you sat at home and did as you were told and wore your face mask and got your vaccine? Or are you going to tell them that you questioned authority, that you found out the information, you know, that you went deeper? Like, and that's the question everyone should ask themselves right now. And you know, doctor, a lot of people watching right now thinking, what can I do? And you know, what can they do? Is it as simple as sharing this information to the next person, until there's enough people that just say, hold on a second, I'm not going to do this, or we have to stop this? Is that the solution?
I think that partially, yes, that is a solution. I think it literally comes down to being that simple initially. Yes, Brian, without a doubt, that's the first thing, to share it with everybody that they know. We have resources, and I'm sure that you have resources. We have I don't know whether I can say a website that they can go to. And is that,
yeah,
is that
go right? Ahead. Go ahead.
So it's askdrbutar.com/LR for London Real. So just ask askdr and then my last name, buttar.com/LR. And then we've got a lot of resources there. They're all free. It's not going to cost you anything. You can actually go and watch the 5 different COVID-19 conspiracy question mark videos. The first one was facts versus fiction. Second one was the toxicology ignored. Third one was corrupted science. Fourth one was 5G and immunity. And the fifth one was deceptive agenda. The sixth one, empowering yourself, is about to come out. This week it's coming out. And we are not sure if it's going to get censored or not. So it'll be available to everybody. You can watch the Truth About Vaccine series there. There's a link to register. All that stuff is there. And that we also have, there's a little form. And if you want to fill that form out and tell us what you are involved in, right? If you're an attorney, if you're military, law enforcement, because we're just helping these people become aware of the information. If you're a healthcare provider, if you're a doctor, and that way we're getting more information, more resources, and collecting more people that can help us in this movement, because that's what it is, a movement of awareness, a movement of freedom, a movement that's going to ensure our children and their children have a better world to live in than we do. And Brian, one of the things is that what David Icke said, you said, what are we going to tell our children? I want to change it slightly. I want our progeny to be able to say that my father, my mother, my aunt, my uncle were part of that movement. That part of the movement that allowed us to have a better future. That's what my intention is. It's a little bit different. Not what are we going to tell, but what our kids are going to be saying. Because here's the sad part. Here's the scary part. If we don't do what we need to do, we won't have grandkids to be able to talk like that. That's the difference.
Yeah, go ahead.
I was going to say, and that's my message, my only message.
Yeah, and that's why I'm doing what I'm doing here. You know, I just think that we have to get the truth out. And if it is the truth, and again, it's two people talking. That's all we're doing here. I'm broadcasting conversations between people, and I'm letting people that have this the right to the sovereignty over your own body, which means you can choose what to put in your mouth, in your eyes, in your ears, make an adult decision. You know, one of the regulators here, Ofcom, came out and said it was dangerous information, as if treating the adults like little kids. And you can't listen to someone's point of view and make a decision. And so I realized I couldn't do it myself. And I don't know about you, doctor, but my whole life I've been trying to do everything myself. And so we reached out to the people and said, would you like to help us create something? And that's the reason we're live streaming today on this independent platform. Honestly, I was shocked. Tens of thousands of people gave money in what is probably the biggest recession we've seen in 100 years to build this digital freedom platform that we're talking on right now. So this matters to people. They're willing to give their last $5 or $100 because they see this is important and maybe preventing this Hunger Games society that Dave is talking about. Because like you said, we might not have grandkids to experience this horrible thing. And the next level of that, that you and I talked about before off camera, is what we're calling the Digital Freedom Fund. And that is getting money together to where we can actually take some of these big private companies to court and get them to re-platform some of these videos. And you know, I heard something on Friday that was really encouraging from an attorney here, a solicitor, as they say in England, who said there's precedent where a private company, for example, the London Stock Exchange, that's acting like a public utility, has to abide by the human rights laws in that country. And especially in a time of a crisis, you're looking at a YouTube platform that's actually providing COVID-19 education, right? Any video you see, it's got the COVID-19 info, which means it's more of a public utility, which means there's a law in the EU preventing the civil right for your own freedom of speech. And it's violating that in this case, if that, you know, private company is acting like a public platform. So we think we have a ground here that on a local basis can change the global platform. And that's just with a little bit of investigation. I think if we can pool our resources with attorneys, you know, in the States,
absolutely.
Imagine getting some of these videos replatformed and then the information goes even more mainstream. And then maybe we look back on this as that weird aberration of that crisis that almost happened in 2020. But I don't think it's going to be that simple.
I think that it could be that simple. And I think that the potential for it to be that simple is there. And I think it's already happening. More and more people are feeling it, Brian, and information that you're putting out and I'm putting out and many other people are putting out, it's resonating with people. And so they're realizing that I'm not the only one that's feeling this way. My neighbor's feeling this way. My brother-in-law's feeling this way. My brother may not, my sister may not, my mother may not, my dad may not, but my brother-in-law is, or whatever the case is, they're starting to find out. And what I want people to do is start the conversation because they start realizing more and more people feel this way, but they don't want to be singled out. They don't want to be ridiculed. They're afraid. They think that everybody's going to laugh at them, whatever. But there's so many people that are feeling this. And your thing about the social media platforms, I think that what I envision, and I know this is going to be the biggest threat. They thought the 5G was the biggest threat. I think what I'm about to say is the biggest threat to the social media platforms, because every person that has not gotten the information that they sought, that did not have access to that public utility, which they were entitled to is a potential plaintiff in this issue. And if there's a class action lawsuit that could take down Google and YouTube and Facebook to the point that they have hundreds of millions of people that are plaintiffs, and then we can create whatever is needed, because nobody should have a monopoly like that on information. And mainstream media having laws that are passed that if you say something, you better be able to back it up, because if you can't, you will go to jail, because they have a higher responsibility. I'm amazed that these bastards will invoke the First Amendment as their freedom of speech and hide behind it, and yet bastardize it by lying, by manipulating information. So I think that they should be held criminally accountable for misinformation, because freedom of speech doesn't say you can misinform people and cost people's lives and fortunes and their livelihoods. That is not in the part of the First Amendment. The First Amendment is freedom of speech, freedom to associate, and freedom to assemble. Well, now we understand how they've been manipulating us. Look at the gun thing, right? The gun laws. Everybody's saying, I've had friends from England, from New Zealand, from Australia, from all over the world saying, for the last 5 years telling me, Rashid, make sure that your friends know in the United States, don't give up the guns. Don't give up the guns. Because if you give up the guns, then as the United States goes, so does the rest of the world. The United States is the last place on the earth, and it's the only place on earth where the public is more armed than the military. And they don't want the public to be armed. And that's why, when I say they, I mean the hierarchy that's been orchestrating all this, because they knew that people that have arms, they're going to be a resistance. And to blame the gun violence out there, for the people to say, how can you say that, Dr. Pattar, because all the people that have died from this gun violence, people haven't died from gun violence. People have died from idiots that had access to weapons. Okay. To say that guns are the reason for the violence that we've experienced is like, it's like blaming. Okay. If you think that that's a problem, if you think that guns are the problem, then we need to outlaw spoons because of the epidemic of obesity. You cannot blame something on the tool. You have to take personal responsibility. So this orchestration of the gun violence, take away guns was, I believe, to prevent people from being armed when this final fiasco plandemic was going to occur. Because right now, if it would occur, there are a lot of people that are armed. And I can tell you, I'm not promoting violence. I'm not for violence. But I'm telling you, I was trained on how to defend. I was trained on how to protect. And I'm not just talking about the military. There's many different things. I mean, I've been, you know, Brian, I was a bouncer all through college and medical school. I've competed in martial arts. My son and I are both world ranked. We've been fighters, okay? We've been fighters, not because we like to fight, but because the best way to prevent somebody from being abused, the best way to ensure peace is to be strong so that nobody screws with you. Now I'm saying that the world has already identified that the United States public is very strong because we are armed, and our forefathers saw this. That's the reason they gave us freedom of speech, one, and freedom to bear arms, two, so that this type of atrocity doesn't occur, because that's what they're trying to do. So my point to the military and to the law enforcement people is that if you take off your uniform, you are no different than anybody else. So if you are being given an order to do something that is an illegal order, if it doesn't feel right to you, if you're told to arrest somebody because they're not wearing a face mask, or you're told that you need to arrest somebody because they're socially gathering, remember what they're standing up for. They're standing up for your freedom and your kids' freedom, because you take off that uniform, you're going to be susceptible to the same issue. So it is illegal to follow an illegal command. Remember that. It is your responsibility to rise and not obey that order. It is your responsibility. Some people said, take off the uniform. Don't take off the uniform. Wear the uniform and walk into that crowd and stand resistant with the rest of your brethren. I'm telling you right now that this is what's going to change it. When they understand that the judges that are like, there's a judge that's ordered right now that anybody that, there's a person that's facing 90 days in jail because she organized a group to be out in a public area. Okay, that judge should be called out. People are right now having, doctors are having their children removed under pretense of safety from COVID-19. What freaking judge knows about medicine to say that, oh, we need to protect your child? This is the infringement on our rights that's happening right now. And there are a lot of people that are complicit with this. I don't know who those people are, but I know that when you trace it back, from the Gates Foundation with the ID 2020, with them owning the patents on the virus, not the vaccines, but the virus, with them infiltrating into the World Health Organization and CDC and all these different things into the governments of the world. This is a dangerous, dangerous thing that they're creating. And they have hit us on all seven of the seven toxicities, or trying to hit us on all seven. Heavy metals first, persistent organic pollutants. This is in my book, The Seven Toxicities. Persistent organic pollutants, the fluorinated hydrocarbons, organophosphates, two. In opportunistics, the bacteria, viruses, spirochetes, which COVID-19 is. That's in the third one. Fourth toxicity, energetics, ambient cell phone radiation, microwave technologies. That's where 5G comes in. The fifth one, which is, if there's going to be one more important than the rest of the toxicities, it's the emotional psychological one. They're hitting us on that by telling us to stay home, scaring us, fear-mongering. The sixth one, foods, not what we eat, but actually what we do to our food, the homogenization, pasteurization, genetic modification, and radiation. Those six that they've hit us on. The seventh one is spiritual, and that's what they're trying to hit us on, and they're not going to be successful. And Brian, just a thought that hit me just now, I want to talk about, we were talking about social distancing, the face mask. Can I talk about the face mask for a second?
Please.
This information is really critical. And again, common sense, it's like nobody thinks about this. Surgeons wear face masks. Nurses wear face masks when we operate. When we're in there doing a heart bypass, a CABG, coronary artery bypass graft, or we're doing a knee replacement, or we're doing a hernia repair, why are we wearing a mask? Are we thinking that something's going to come and infect us? No. When a surgeon and a doctor or a nurse wears a face mask, it's to prevent the person from having an exposure, meaning that when the surgeon's wearing it, it's so that he doesn't drool, spit, cough, sneeze into that open surgical area. That's why he's wearing the face mask. We wear the gowns because our clothes aren't sterile. There's a sterile gowns to protect the sterile field. We wash our hands, put on gloves so that we maintain sterility. That's why we do it. In the Far East, when people are wearing face masks, they're not doing it to prevent catching something. They're doing it so that they don't give somebody something that they're carrying themselves. Now we've got the media, again, face mask, face mask, face mask. Guys, when you're wearing a face mask, humans breathe in oxygen. We know that people that have a decreased immune system, you become susceptible to COVID-19. Now they're telling you, stay in your house, they're scaring you, which decreases your immune system. Wear a face mask, which is reducing the flow of oxygen, causing a physiological stress in your body, which increases cortisol output. Cortisol output goes up, the body's now stressed. It's stressed. What happens when you're stressed? If you look at Steiner's theory on viruses, viruses are actually live inside our systems, inside the cells. We are a viral system. If it wasn't for viruses, we would not have evolved. So Steiner's work clearly shows that during periods of stress, during periods of toxicity, you have a release of viruses. If you look at exosomes and viruses, they're almost, in fact, they are identical. Dr. Kaufman gives a great lecture on that. I would refer people to him. Dr. Cowan talked about this aspect of the 5G, and his videos got all censored. But coming back to the viruses, if your body is stressed, you will release more viruses. Your body is stressed, you're increasing more cortisol. You're decreasing your immune system. You're becoming more susceptible to any type of opportunistic. Again, misinformation, trying to get people sick on purpose, intentional. The one thing you should be doing, if you're worried about COVID-19, get your face mask off. Second, go out. When they talk about, oh, the sun, it's important. The sun is necessary. That is, in fact, part and parcel of the vitamin D, calcium. I mean, there's a whole bunch of things. I don't want to go into physiology, start explaining everything. But my point is just that one thing. If we stress our bodies out, what do you think is going to happen? Your immune system is going to go down. You're going to become more susceptible. I mean, we can only go without oxygen for a minute or two. So when you're walking around with a mask on, you're decreasing your oxygen. They just had something yesterday in the newspaper that a person in a car had an accident and died. And they determined, surprisingly, it wasn't COVID-19. They determined, well, actually indirectly was, because she had a face mask on and her oxygen levels dropped and she fainted and rammed a car into a tree or something and ended up dying. So indirectly, I guess that was COVID-19. But this type of misinformation and depowering the public, if you hear anything about COVID-19 that takes your power away, it is BS. I mean, let me just, this is the final thing I'm going to say, Brian. When this happened, what was the run on? Was it on money? Was it on food? It was on toilet paper. That's how much full of crap this whole thing is. It was a run on toilet paper. Does that make any sense? I mean, logically, why would you run for toilet paper? Why wouldn't you get food? Or wouldn't you get some kind of medicine? But no, they ran on toilet paper. That's the most absurd thing. And I think that is the creator's humor, that it shows how much full of crap this whole pandemic was.
Yeah, if it seems ridiculous and looks ridiculous and feels ridiculous, it's probably ridiculous. And I just think it's worth everybody meditating on everything you just said, Doctor, and then, you know, taking a step back and empowering yourself. I keep talking about leadership is so important here, that everyone just steps up and acts like a leader in their field. And that means coming out and talking about something you believe is true, whether you're a doctor or a lawyer or anybody else, and go ahead and saying your opinion, telling the truth, sharing this information, and be willing to take a few of the initial hits, you know, of sticking your head above, you know, above the wall. But then if enough of us do that, then we can go ahead and make that charge. And this is all about this education. So everything you said today makes total sense. And, you know, if it hadn't have been precursored by all the media that's been talking to us for the last 3 months, then this would be a non-issue, this episode. Exactly. But unfortunately, you know, when the rest of the world is insane, the truth is an act of defiance. And that's what you're doing here. And I'm so glad we could do this without worrying about D being deplatformed, because we would have been taken off YouTube 100 times in the past 2 hours by mentioning any combination of words. They come out recently and said anything against the WHO, even though, you know, Cuomo's saying you got to wear face masks. WHO says you can't wear face masks. So it's all this conflicting information. And we have to make a stand. And I agree. I foresee a class action lawsuit in the future where we can finally get things back to the power of the people. Recently, I saw something on Facebook, Doctor, where they're identifying anybody who liked or shared a controversial piece of content about COVID and 5G, and now those people are going to be re-educated, like a re-education camp with scientific studies proving otherwise. So now you're being earmarked as being part of the resistance, and now you're going to be re-educated online. I mean, if that's not a sign that something wrong here, I don't know what is. And so I appreciate you for standing up. Yeah, go ahead.
I was going to say that what you were just talking about, there are certain groups that talk about vaccines and vaccine dangers. And I didn't know this. We had changed our settings in our group, which is the IEDFW. But what was interesting, that when we came back in to reset that group up, I mean, there was, you know, over 1,000 people in it, actually a couple thousand people. What was interesting is that there was a warning that flashed up there, which I'd never seen before. And it said, caution, something to the extent of that this group has been identified as discussing vaccines, or as discussing unproven theories about vaccines, do you want to proceed? So they're segregating and trying to divert people away. And soon it won't make a difference, that you just won't be able to find those groups or those chats. And that's one reason your effort to create a new platform, and anybody else that's out there that's creating an effort to create new platforms that are not censored, I think is commendable. And the part that you talked about, many other attorneys and doctors, when people come to askdrbitar.com/LR, there is that form. If you are an attorney or you are a doctor, please indicate that. And there's some specifics on there. And we're doing exactly what you're talking about, Brian, is creating a large army of attorneys and doctors, because we know that as people go out in the public forum, they're going to be arrested. There's a potential for that. And we want to have the constitutionality of it and all the case precedents and such that are necessary, so that these lawyers can now help these people, because it is going to take a movement. And my goal is to get as many people out there. If you have 1,000 people, what are they going to do? 1,000 people show up, what are they going to do? They can't arrest 1,000 people or 2,000 people. And that's one reason I have the message to law enforcement and military to remember that these are people peacefully demonstrating their right to have true information, and they don't want to have mandated vaccines and mandated exposure to 5G, which you and your children will also be exposed to, which they're not telling you. They're keeping you in ignorance, and it's ignorance that is the way the problem lies. So rise, be bold. And I would like to, the last thing I would like to do is just read to you something, Brian. And I think it's, it touched me deeply. And this is just an example of the feedback that I've gotten. And like, if you look at our YouTube channel now, you know, it's growing just very fast, but 98, 99, 99.5, 99.7 likes, very, very little dislikes. And my son was saying, Dad, you're such a controversial guy. I'm surprised that you have such high, and this is like every video, like 40, 50 videos, very, very high, 7, 8, 9, 10,000 comments. But I want to read to you something, Brian, that kind of really hit me. And this is just an example. This guy, his name was Tom. Can I do that?
Please.
He said, when I see you, I see a man troubled and trouble for people for the good in life. I wish the world had 100 million more like you. It speaks of selflessness. You were put on the earth for a different reason. May God Almighty bless you. This world does not want truth or truth facts delivered. I will promote you to the extent of my ability and take the same bullet chosen for you. Go forth boldly always. And there are so many people that have sent messages like this. And this is a message to each one of us to go forth boldly. And I mean, I'll just read you my response, because at that time it took me, I didn't even know what to say. And I actually said, I don't even know what to say. Your generous words have touched me deeply. May I be worthy of those words. Please pray for me that the Creator guides me to do His will, and that He allows me, and that He allows my sword to be swift and accurate, with deep gratitude. And I think that all of us have to ask for that guidance, that we do the will of the Creator, because what's being threatened right now is His ultimate creation. And I don't care what faith belief system that you have, we all came from the same place, and we're going to go all to that same place once our time on this earth is done. And it is our obligation, our fiduciary, our ethical, our moral obligation, the reason we were put here, our obligation to make sure that we protect those who come after us, not just our children, not just our grandchildren, but those who come after us. So I ask each one of you to do whatever you can, whether it's holding that place in your heart, meditating, as Brian had said, setting the intention of love and gratitude and compassion for the planet, and asking source energy, asking the Creator to support us in this evolutionary process, and to make sure that whatever you can do, you do. If you're law enforcement, if you're an attorney, if you're a doctor, if you're military, fill in that form. Let us know so that we can get more and more people together for resources, so that as this thing comes to a final culmination, which I think is going to be just in a couple of weeks, I think already the cracks in their facade are starting to show, and we get back to work, we get back to the world, but the world will be a different place. But it's not going to be a different place because of social distancing. It'll be a place because you'll see more people hugging, more people aware of the abundance, more people striving together in an economy that we've never seen, a global economy like we've never seen. That's what I see happening. That's what I feel is happening. And that's the opportunity that's before us that I think David Icke was talking about.
Yeah, and I see that too. I see this as being a great example of everything we need to be grateful for. And absolutely, if we can move forward with that energy, like you said, just move forward with that energy of great intention, of putting out, doing the right thing, of leading in your community. And I think then we are going to move forward and get through this. There might be a few bumps along the way, but I see us doing that and evolving to a greater place. I really believe we can. And connecting and realizing we're all one, which is something, honestly, every great guest on this show has said for the last 9 years in so many words, regardless of race, religion, creed, country. You know, so this is a fundamental human truism that we all know, and that's why we all connect to it. It resonates with us when we hear it, and we're drawn to it. And we're drawn to great voices and great leadership. And when we're allowed to hear these messages, especially these nuanced conversations, you know, I mean, Doctor, if we just see a clickbait headline of you or a 30-second clip, you can be typified as this guy or that guy. But if we listen to you for 2 hours, it's like, okay, I see where he's coming from. I feel his energy. I hear it logically, and I feel it even from my gut, that there's some truth here, and it pulls me in the right direction. And I think that's the scariest form of media out there, you know, that's right, because that's something people will never forget. And funny enough, that's what was banned on YouTube, not all the other videos out there. And so it's because it's powerful. Doctor, do you worry about your safety personally, or if they ever want to come back to you, will it just be character assassination and marginalization, or is that just let the chips fall where they may?
Well, it's a little bit of all. Character assassination, they've tried that for years and years, and you know, the people that I care about, which is the Creator and my father, were the only two that I ever cared about what they thought. And then when I became a doctor, I cared about what my patients, not what other people say, but what my patients say. And I think those people are the only ones that I care about. And those people, when I look at myself in the mirror, I'm proud of what they say. I have a slogan. Somebody had shared a card with me years ago, about 15 years ago. And I've kind of taken that on as my personal motto, which is do right and fear no man. As far as fear of safety, There's two things. First, I've got the biggest and the baddest of them all backing me up, and that's the creator. I made a promise to the creator that when my son was vaccine injured, and he's a world-ranked martial artist, he's going to be playing at the World Championship in poker in Las Vegas this year. He's just turned 21. He's on the chancellor's list every semester. He's going to graduate magna cum laude. He's a remarkable young man. Both of my sons are phenomenal. All three of my kids are. And Rohan is my youngest. He's 15. And my older son, Abhi. And they're just extraordinary boys. But Abhi went through a very difficult beginning. And when the character assassination started then, it didn't matter to me because I just wanted to get my son better. And so the biggest and the baddest, I made a promise. I made a deal. I mean, I cursed at God. I lost faith in the creator. And I finally made a deal with him. And I said, you know, I'll give you my arm. I'll give you my leg. I'll give you whatever. Just give me back my son. And the deal was, if you gave me back my son, I would never stop doing his work. And I'm just keeping up my end of the bargain, Brian. That's all I'm doing. And when people give me these accolades, you know, I appreciate it, but everything belongs to the creator. I'm humbled by their words, but you know, giving me credit for that is kind of like giving somebody credit for breathing. I don't know any other way of being. I just know I have to make sure that I fulfill my end of the bargain. And the military has kind of taught me, it's a different part of it, you know, from the time that, there's a line from a movie, a very violent movie, but it really sums it up. And it's like, when you realize that from the time that you were born, that you're dying, you know, death suddenly loses its, the fear component. We're dying from the day we were born, right? I mean, we should be actually sad when people are born, because they're coming into this world, and we should be rejoicing when we die, because it's time we're going back to the creator, the source of everything. And so if you think about it from that perspective, it's inevitable we're all gonna die. And I'm not looking forward to dying, but I am looking forward to the conversations I'm gonna have with the creator. I've got a lot of questions, you know, I wanna know about the JFK, who actually assassinated JFK, but I've got a lot of questions. But death doesn't, and I think a lot of the people that have served in the military, it's, you know, death has lost its allure and its fear. It's not a big deal. I've looked at the sky many times and I've said, today's a good day to die. And I get that sense the creator's looking down at me going, yeah, you wish it was going to be that easy. You still got a lot of work to do. And so I will continue doing whatever work he puts before me. And I hope that I'm worthy of those words that people have used to, like that guy, Tom. I mean, it just really is humbling.
Well, I very much appreciate what you do, and your energy and your sense of purpose is shown in what you do. So I'm not surprised by the last few minutes of what you told us, because I can see your purpose, Doctor, in your actions. And so as an observer, I'd say they're massively congruent. So I appreciate you for putting your words out there. I appreciate you for, you know, fighting this good fight. And I agree that the one thing, the only thing that we need to do is spread this information. And so if anyone is watching this right now and they're feeling the same way, share this video. There's a link there on the side. Just share it out to people. And just, even if they're for or against the way you were talking in the past, just say, hey, listen to this guy for just a little bit and see if you might start to understand how he sees the world, and then make a decision. That's all I ask. I just ask for people to listen and walk a mile in their shoes. I think that's what we're trying to do here. And I think if the whole world did this more often, there would be no division. You know, they divide us by saying they're Chinese, they're Iranian, they're terrorists, they're this, they're actually, they're human beings living out their circumstances. And honestly, you would make very similar choices in those circumstances. So can you look past those and find it? The only way they can divide us is through that hatred and that misunderstanding. So this is the way forward. So glad we had this conversation. And so glad I got to know you more as a person. Next time, let's do this. With no distancing. Let's do this.
I would love that. And Brian, thank you for rising to this occasion. And a lot of people would have probably succumbed to it or changed, but I appreciate you for picking up the baton. and hitting them right back with it. So kudos to you, and I'll support you any way that I can.
Well, thank you so much. I think it's just in my nature. As a little kid, I never liked it when people told me what to do. So in my immediate reaction when being banned, I was talking to Alex Jones, and he said, "Brian, why did you do this?" And I was like, I didn't even think. My immediate reaction was to just hit back. Right. And so now it's become so obvious this is the right thing to do. So we're going to continue moving forward. And there's a whole group of people that honestly I never even knew were behind us that want this. And I've never seen a mobilization of people like I have in the last 2 weeks. I'm humbled by it. And I know with great responsibility, with great power comes great responsibility. So I feel now really responsible to, you know, take the money that we've raised and choose the correct people to put on this platform like yourselves, and to build the technology and then put this into the right legal fund so we can start really showing them that we actually have some teeth. And I think even just showing some teeth is going to be a big surprise for some of these companies that are used to everybody cowering away and kowtowing to their size and their revenue models and, you know, the pennies that they distribute to keep everyone kind of in their place and quiet. So I'm excited for that. If there are any lawyers out there, contact me. And I have a feeling we're going to have continued conversations in mounting this legal defense together. And also, if somebody wants to learn more about this digital freedom platform and become one of the founding members and contribute, there's a link below. Or go to learnerville.tv/freedom. There also will be a link below with all of Dr. Guitar's video series. I've watched the ones that are out now, and I can't wait for this next one that's coming out. And fill out the form and let them know a little bit about yourself, because, again, we need everyone's help here. And I think that's it. Any final thoughts from you?
Just appreciation and gratitude for everyone out there that has opened their eyes, that is speaking out, and you will be remembered as your children, your grandchildren remember you for what you did for speaking out. Because as far as I'm concerned, if you are not part of the solution, by definition, you're part of the problem. And the reason that they're part of the problem is because they have been victimized by the media and by the powers that be. And it's up to you. It's up to each one of us to help to educate them and open their eyes. And guys, do that. Like you said, Brian, it'll be a much, much more, it'll be a much better world, a much more efficient world, a much more abundant world. And that's what we need. It's time for our next evolutionary leap of mankind.
Yeah, I'm excited for it. So excellent stuff. Well, thank you so much, sir. Be safe, be well, and I hope we talk again soon.
Thank you very much. I appreciate it, Brian.
All right, excellent. And for those of you watching, thank you so much again. Please share this video. We will keep it here, uncensored, unedited, learnerville.tv/Guitar. Share this with everyone. Let's get people watching this, talking about this, commenting on this, and we'll continue to put out these messages that we think are super important. But again, step up, be the leader in your life, put these ideas out there. And again, we will look back on this year and we will know who were the people that were fighting. Be one of those people, be proud of yourself. And that's it. Until next time, we'll see you.